London's LBC 97.3.
Groovy. 0870-9090-973.
Nick Abbott.
Yowza.
I am not Ian Lee.
Oh, no.
That needs to go higher. I'll do it again.
Oh, no.
A little bit higher.
Oh, no.
A little bit higher still.
Oh, no.
Or a little bit lower. Now you've gone too far. You've gone too far, Helen. You're out of your mind. What are you, crazy? Yes, I am Nick Abbott. Ian has taken his ball, and now most of the callers that he get will be sitting on their hands, and they won't play. It's not my game, and they're not coming out to play. All of that singing about Jamaica Jam, that's right out. What was all that? I caught some of that last night. He was singing about, was it Jamaica Jam he was singing about?
Reggae sauce?
Yeah, like I said, Jamaica Jam, yeah. Is that what it was? Because I heard reggae sauce, and in my mind I'm thinking Jamaica Jam. Close, no cigar. So is everyone excited about Valentine's Day?
Negative.
No, I didn't think so, no. Does anybody do that anymore? Apart from people who've only just met? Yeah, those are the ones that are still... Everyone else who gave all that up years and years and years ago, we couldn't be, it's like February the 14th, and, you know, the other half is looking at you expectantly, so drawing a complete blank over here. You buying anything?
I think I have to.
Really? How about you, Helen?
Do you really want to know?
It depends. depends what the answer is.
Well, I spent 2 hours last night actually making my own Valentine's cards.
Making it?
Oh, no.
That's not what they want. They want you to go out and buy something.
No, I'm not going to do that. I made them. They were lovely. I based it on very old Japanese prints.
How many?
10.
The Japanese print. Gosh, that sounds interesting.
Yeah. Boring!
Stop that. Stop it.
What, they're not worth the actual money to go out and buy a proper card in a shop? Well, you've stuck one together you were watching Blue Peter.
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Well, it doesn't say that you value them very much. Value them at 0 pence.
No.
Just whatever you could drum up from the back of the cupboard.
No.
Looks like a Japanese print. What, the one with the big wave?
Well, I actually didn't use that one. Right. There was another one with a bridge.
Oh, I'm sorry, it's the only one I know.
Oh, right. I did one of a samurai. I just took the shape of the red cloak that he was wearing.
Yeah, that sounds like love. Mm-hmm. Samurai, that spells love to me.
It was just the design, though. It was just getting the design.
Well, a man who deals death with swords.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Just a design.
Nothing more romantic. You're out of your mind. Yes. But you said Valentine cards.
Yes.
Cards.
10.
What?
How many?
10.
10?
What?
To who? Anyone you know?
To 4 really good friends and to 5 children.
Leaving one.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, hang on.
Hello, Bill.
Hello.
Bill.
Yeah?
How are you?
Who's that, Nick?
Yes, Bill.
Hey, you know, the most valuable thing you can give someone is your time. So those cards are worth a lot more than your pens. We can all walk in and stick our heads in our pockets, but is it Alison who made the cards? Well done, darling.
Thanks, Bill.
Yeah.
See you later, Nick.
All right, cheers, Bill. Yeah, well, no, see, you can give me time and time and time, but time doesn't pay the rent. Time doesn't pay the bills. Money? Now you're talking. So is that all then? Just like some crummy thing that you...
It's not crummy.
Has it got glitter on it?
I put glitter on it, yeah.
All 10 of them. 4 to your paramours, 5 to children, leaving one.
One.
Yes?
I put 10 stamps on envelopes today, so that is, that's weird.
It's incredible. You're the one that's controlling all the levels here, and I can barely hear a word you're saying.
Can you hear me now?
You're rubbish at this.
Hang on. Hang on. Oh, look at that.
Much better, you see?
Yep, there we go.
Now you're too loud. You see, if it wasn't for me, this whole show would be in the toilet.
Oops.
Where is Ian, by the way?
I don't know.
What?
I don't know.
You always say this. I mean, you two are virtually attached at the waist, and on this of all days...
I forgot to ask.
Valentine's Day Eve, he leaves you practically at the altar.
Yeah.
You've got to ask. Yeah. I mean, do you two ever speak to each other unless it's on the air?
No.
You must be doing TV. Must be away chasing money, I bet.
I genuinely did forget to ask, so...
Don't you find this astonishing, Helen?
What? I can't be bothered. I don't care.
She doesn't care, actually.
Can we talk more about my cards?
I thought you were chums.
Yeah, we are.
Here is one in Queen's Park. Hello, Wisdom Jones.
Good morning.
How are you going?
I'm okay, how are you?
Super, thanks for asking.
Excellent. Yeah, Valentine's Day, yeah, it's tomorrow, yeah, but listen, you don't need... The cards, okay, yeah, that's cool, okay, yeah, but at the end of the day, yeah, what is more valuable is each other, because, like, you might have money and all that, but think about it, at the end of the day, yeah, you've both got each other, so, like, Valentine's Day is mainly supposed to be about you two.
Right, that's a single guy talking right there. Thanks a lot, Wisdom. Cheers, mate. He wanted to raise her a finger of complaint, but unfortunately we're out of time on that call. Here's one in Croydon. Hello, John.
Globule.
Globule, one of my favourite words. Throb is another one. Here's one in Barnsley. Hello, Louise.
Hi, Nick.
Louise.
How are you?
You call all shows, don't you? You spread your love thinly, that's for sure.
Oh, you're my favourite. Oh, no, I got into trouble last time I said that to you. You're my favourite. Ian told me off.
Well, quite right, too. Were you saying to him that I was your favourite?
Yeah, I said, I'm like, Nick, and he said, yeah, I heard you say that.
Yeah.
Like, we had an argument.
Well, he must have been in one of his argumentative moods. Sounds hard to believe, I know.
Really?
So, what's up, Louise? Got big plans for tomorrow?
Oh, no.
No.
Maybe it's because I'm single and miserable, but...
Yeah, that'll probably be it, yeah.
It's just so... big waste of money to me. I mean, when I was at school, we used to make... I don't mean, like, little school, I mean middle school. We used to make cards for people that we liked, and we used to...
Well, Helen's still doing it. She's a proper grown-up.
Yeah, but my point is we didn't go to a restaurant, you know, and spend 50 quid at a restaurant, or we didn't buy expensive things for people that we were already going out with. It was to get people together. I always thought that's what it was all about.
It is a holiday that's been invented by the card companies, isn't it? It's just another one of those, like Father's Day and Mother's Day, and they don't actually have a Grandparents' Day yet, do they?
The world, well, you've given
yeah,
them an idea.
I know, there's there's the seed of a £50 million profit right there. If only I could patent that, I'd never have to show up for work again.
No, you wouldn't. But I think the supermarket down the road from us is doing something really nice for Valentine's Day.
I seriously doubt that. The supermarket, hey, that's lovely, darling, where did you get that? Tiffany's? No.
No.
The supermarket.
If you're single, they're going to put balloons up at the entrance that are, like, heart-shaped. And so you go around with them tied to your trolley.
Tied to your what, sorry?
Tied to your trolley.
Oh, your trolley.
Yeah,
right.
So if somebody comes up to you with a heart balloon on them and you've got one on yours and you like them, then you can go and talk to them.
Snuggle in the frozen food section.
Yeah.
Yeah, for warmth. Yeah. That sounds lovely, Louise. That's the, you know, it sounds like a proper romantic, what would you call that? A commingling. A romantic commingling in the fresh fruit produce. You go to the supermarket for Valentine's Day. That is the definition of desperation, Louise. Please don't do it.
I'm not going to. I'm not that desperate yet.
I mean, who, honestly, for a pick-up joint, would go to the supermarket and tie a balloon on their trolley?
Well, some people I don't know if this is true or not, but apparently they have codes sometimes in supermarkets. Like, if you've got a certain chocolate bar in your trolley, then that means you're available. I don't know if that's true or just no.
Right. Well, like a fun-sized Mars bar, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
A giant double-decker.
Yeah.
You're out of your mind, Louise. But thanks a lot anyway. All right.
All right, Nick.
Have a good day. Ta-ta.
Bye.
This is LBC 97.3. Here's Travel Now.
Well, let's get back to it.
So, you, Chris, said that you are going to be buying a present because, not because you really, really love her, but because you have to.
Because she asked for one.
Oh, right. Now, which category do you fit into here? New lovers, established couple, or together forever?
Ooh.
Because I'm about to make this... I'm about to easy up your life.
I'm going to go for established couple for now.
Established couple. Right, you are. Established couples, for her, you want to get her. This is an article in the Daily Telegraph. Not really the sort of paper that you'd expect this rubbish to be in, but almost an entire page was taken up by some woman banging on about how important it is to get the very correct gift for Valentine's Day, which, Helen, do not include things you made yourself. Like, if it's a soap, if it's soap or anything like that, best not to make that yourself.
That's quite hard to make.
Is it? You speak from experience?
No.
Oh, struth.
I read that on Wikipedia.
Right. What would we do without Wikipedia? I mean, that's going to be one of the greatest inventions in the history of the world, particularly for DJs who sit on the air and have to come up with, you know, things to say about whatever they're playing. What would we have done before? We'd have had to nip to the library in the 3 minutes that the track's on.
That's true.
The fount of all knowledge has been written by people that you'd probably cross the road to avoid. Those people that spend all day long writing stuff down on Wikipedia.
How do you know it's true, though?
Well, you don't. But you say if you say it with gravitas, then it becomes true. Tony Blair's experience has told us that. You keep saying it and saying it and saying it, and eventually it becomes the truth. Yeah. Right, these are a selection of gifts that this person, whose qualifications are, I don't know, in question, let's face it. But she's, because they had a giant amount of space on this page, because they couldn't fill it with advertising, they had to come up with some guff about Valentine's Day, and this is it. Top tips for new lovers, established couples, and couples that have been together forever. What to buy, right? Mm-hmm. I'll start with the new lovers. It's a very good place to start. Flowers for her. Right. I mean, that's so obvious, you might as well not write it down, right?
Yeah.
But not roses.
Huh? Why not?
Too common. Too obvious. Everyone does it.
Oh.
Flowers that are in season. Hyacinths, snowdrops or bluebells. I could probably identify a bluebell in a lineup, but if you put a gun to my head, I wouldn't know what a hyacinth was.
Bluebell's not in season.
Isn't it?
No.
What about daffs? Are they appropriate?
Just about.
Can snowdrops. You give daffodils?
You wouldn't give daffs on Valentine's Day.
I guess not. Yeah. Oh, because they're yellow. And you know what that means?
Jaundice.
I give you the gift of a terrible illness. No, it means cowardice, according to this woman here. Don't give yellow flowers. They mean cowardice, apparently. Why anybody would give flowers in order to imply that the recipient was a coward, I've got no idea. I mean, you wouldn't say it with flowers, would you? A pack of love hearts.
Oh, no.
Who would gratefully accept one of those? I mean, it cost about 10 pence.
Only kids give those.
Well, you'd think, yeah. The same sort of people who make their Valentine's cards.
And how cheap is that?
Oh, woke up again.
I know, it's extremely cheap. I mean, it's like the price of a penny chew, or at least it used to be.
Nick, can I ask you something? Do you think
£10
now. Do you think this is sad? If I'd have had a camera on my mobile phone, I would have taken a photograph of all my cards lined up last night.
It is sad that you don't have a camera on your mobile phone. Yes, I feel sorry for you. It's like virtually living in the third world, you must be. I've got a camera and a video phone on my... I've got no idea how to use them. Occasionally, I mistakenly take a picture of myself and have no control over it because there's a myriad of buttons on the side of this thing. And I've got no clue what they do at all. The only thing I know about my mobile phone is that I can't get anywhere near it.
Why did you get it?
Because it was free. Because it boils my brain. I can't actually use the phone against my ear. I have to, like when you called me just now,
It
has to be on speakerphone. And so the conversation is usually, what? 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 Nightmare. And that's the thin thing that everyone's got.
Oh, yeah.
It's unusable, because it actually sets the liquid in my brain on fire.
Nice.
Look on your face. Anyway, back to these gifts. I hope you're making notes. Fantastic chocolate. We're talking Rococo, whatever that is. Presumably it's a, it's a cocoa at the end. That's the clue. Jewellery. These are new lovers' gifts that she suggested for her. Jewellery, you know, couples that have just met. The jewellery that's not obviously blown your credit card, but classy and matches her personality. For him, now, remember that she's suggested for her flowers, chocolates and jewellery.
Yeah.
For him, anything you like, as long as it's under a tenner.
What?
Isn't that terrible?
It's a bit vague, isn't it?
Well, vague and cheap and just dismissive. Isn't that shocking? Like, she's gone into no end of detail about what the woman should get. Flowers, chocolate. She's even gone as far as to name the chocolate company you should go and get them from.
Sounds like she's got all this from Wikipedia.
No. Anything you like, as long as it's under a tenner.
That's awful.
It is. On top of that, you could buy oysters, lemons, Tabasco, butter and bread, and ask him to shuck the oysters for you. Indigestion. That's what, that's the gift to give for the one that you love.
Excellent.
Yeah. A night in the hospital.
Looking forward to it.
But you're not a new lover.
No.
You are an established couple.
Oh, I guess.
Right, for her, well, for him, this is what you can expect, right?
Yeah.
Do you know that you're going to get anything?
Well, no, I'm hoping to get something. I don't know what blokes get on Valentine's Day. I've never really got anything, just except for a card.
And how long have you been going out?
Nearly 3 years.
Right, so that's definitely established couple territory.
Yeah.
You can expect cashmere socks.
Ooh. Actually...
Why would anybody want that?
I would like some socks, actually.
Yeah, but cashmere socks. That seems...
That doesn't exist.
Yeah, it does.
It doesn't exist.
It really does.
You can't get that in Primark.
Well, no, not in Primark. Or in Poundland, no. You can't get cashmere socks in Argos, for instance. No.
Have you got some?
No, because why would you want them? They're on your feet. Cashmere underwear, on the other hand.
That makes a difference.
A Swiss Army knife or a Leatherman. Well, that's the kind of thing you get your dad, isn't it?
And
a small toolbox, in other words.
It's slightly illegal, isn't it?
Not only to carry on a plane. Illegal?
A pen knife?
Well, yeah, but you can't stab anyone with it, but you could unscrew a... You know, you could put together some flat-pack furniture.
You could do a bit of damage with it, I reckon.
Tickets for Cozy Fan Tutti.
What?
Tickets for the opera.
Are you very sure you're not homosexual?
How does that sound?
Oh.
Yeah. The Beatles CD Love.
Boring!
Oh, blimey. Or the Kama Sutra.
No.
The Kama Sutra?
I'll flick through it.
What it'd be like, ordering a meal at a Chinese restaurant. I'll have an 87 and a 63 for two. For her. All right, pay attention and make notes.
I got my pen ready.
Now, this sounds very suspicious, because not just any old bath products, Jo Malone's Lime Basil and Mandarin Huile de Bain, a sensual knockout, she says. That sounds like advertising to me.
Who's Jo Malone?
No idea. Agent Provocateur Lingerie. Now, would she actually like that? Because that's a present for him, really, that she has to wear. It has to be uncomfortable.
Isn't that a bit seedy?
Only if you're standing in a shop window at the time.
Right.
Or a crystal gem encrusted riding crop for the more adventurous.
I'll pass.
Well, a crystal gem encrusted riding crop.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Oh, well, that makes it different, yeah. Here's, Andy in Enfield. Oh, Andy?
Yes, that's it, but I'm not quite in Enfield tonight, I'm just outside it.
Can I call you Andy in Enfield for the purpose of this conversation?
You certainly can. Gifts for Valentine's night, or Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Well, my wife has a love of jewellery, but she likes it to be unique, and she's also very good at art and spent many, many days sitting down and doodling and doing designs for jewellery and things like that. So last year, I paid for her to go on a jewellery making course.
Huh.
For a Valentine's Day, and she's absolutely over the moon. She's learned how to make jewellery with sheet metals, wire, and also a thing that they call PMC, which apparently is some Japanese invention where they can take precious metals and they bond it with a resin which disappears when you fire it, which leaves...
Oh, that sounds charming. The ads are coming up, so I've got to go, but the prize you gave to yourself there was that you got her out of the house.
London's LBC 97.3.
0870
9090973. Nick Abbott.
Hello, boys.
Hello, Andy.
Hello, sir.
Andy, so to recap, you said that you got your wife, and how long have you been going out?
We've been married 3 years in April. We've been together for 7 years.
Okay, and so you got her a course that she could go away and make a beautiful brooch out of old car parts.
Well, not old car parts, but I mean, it was a day course. I'm away all week, so it was giving her something to do. She loves her jewellery. But a lot of the rings that she'd seen with the nice designs were very, very expensive. So,
well, that's the nature of jewellery, all right.
Well, yes, and she just found out how much profit they make as well, because she went on the course, and it was day release sort of thing, and she was on it for a total of 3 months, and we kitted her out with a workshop at home, and...
Day release, is that what you said?
Yeah, I know it sounds a little bit naughty. No, it was a day course, you know, so it was there and back in the day and what have you.
They let her out, that's nice.
Yes, oh yes, yes, you know, but I've still got to have words with them about that, though. She makes her own jewellery now. She's made some of the designs that she really liked, and she's actually making some and selling it, and she's really, really happy about that.
So, in fact, you gave her the gift of money.
Well, in a way, but at the end of the day, it was a case of we all sit down and think 3 or 4 weeks before Valentine's Day, or 3 or 4 hours before you get home in some cases, what the heck can I get my wife?
What can I get in the garage on the way home? Yeah. In effect, it's almost like third world aid. You didn't give her a container of food. You gave her, like a fish, for instance. You taught her how to fish. See?
Well, yes, in a way, but it was what she wanted. And I found the secret to our relationship and keeping happy is when you're out
about, she wants.
Find out what she wants and work out what you can afford to get her and do it like that. I mean, she got me a trumpet, which I played trumpet many, many years ago.
She got you a trumpet?
Yes.
Is she out of her mind?
No. She met me because I worked in entertainment.
Well,
and the trumpet that I had got purloined.
Trumpet purloined, eh? Trumpets and entertainment, not happy bedfellows, usually. I mean, Chet Baker, yes. You?
Or Harry James, or Eddie Calvert, you know, they might disagree with you.
So, but the problem with the trumpet is it's so very loud. I mean, do you practice in the house?
Well, I practice in the house. Sometimes I'll bring it out in the lorry with me and practice in the lorry, but I mean, I've got my own studio at home anyway, so I can lock myself away and nobody will hear me.
Right. Okay, well, my best... are you attached? Is your property attached to anyone else's?
No.
Oh.
Not by half a mile.
A detached property owner we've got on the phone here. Well, that's good. Then you've got no neighbours to upset. You carry on with your bad self.
No, but I mean, all I'm saying at the end of the day is, listen to what your partner says during the year, and it doesn't have to be flowers, it doesn't have to be boxes of chocolates, where a woman might say, what are you trying to do, get me fat, or whatever. It can be something that you wouldn't think of normally as a Valentine's Day present, which is going to be absolutely what she wants, and she'll be over the moon with it.
Right, but don't get it wrong, whatever you do.
Oh, no. Don't get it wrong, can be, you know, awfully cold. You know, you're sleeping outside with the dog.
Yeah, all right. Well, the best of luck with that, Andy.
All right, Andy.
Cheers, mate. Ta-ra.
Cheers, bye.
Finally, I don't know whether you, like, together forever, these days, of course, 3 years. You've been together 3 years, Chris. Together forever could be 3 years, because...
Is that what it says?
No, it doesn't, but, you know, most relationships break up in the first, 10 minutes?
Yeah.
And if you've been together more than, like, a couple of years, it's virtually, you're setting records.
Uh-oh.
That bloke had been together 7 years. Wow. Unheard of.
That sounded like a lot of effort, though, what he did.
It's truth, yeah. Yeah.
You know,
a lot of effort for her more than anything. He sent her off on a course, sent her back to school. He did.
Yeah.
Actually, of course, that might have been just exactly what she wanted.
Well, she got a job out of it.
I would have
really
been mortally offended. Yeah, I suppose so. Like I said, it's you know, Bongo and Bob Geldof would have been more than pleased, because he didn't just give her a fish; he taught her how to fish. See how that works?
Mm-hmm.
And if that's caught on, then Tiffany's would be very upset, because people will be just making their own. Which would you prefer, like a box that's with jewellery in that somebody'd made, or a box with Cartier written on the outside?
Cartier every time, isn't it?
Together forever. Here are the gifts that you have to buy for her if you've been together forever, according to this woman who's, I swear, the Daily Telegraph has become, quite often, a silly paper. It's been taken over and they've rejigged their staff, haven't they? And it's much of it's a silly paper now. An entire page given over to this. Together forever. For her, the entire contents of a florist's shop.
Oh, no. Do you know how much... They increase the value of flowers on Valentine's Day.
Well, yeah, the price.
Yeah.
Not the value.
No.
Well, it's, yeah, but that's the nature of the market. More people want them, the price goes up, which just seems grasping to me. I mean, whatever happened to, you know, share and share alike? I mean, if a flower, a rose, for instance, costs 50p a stem, that's... I've got no idea whether that's true. It could be a tenner. Got no clue. But let's say 50p, you know, in April.
Yeah.
Then why, on the week before February 14th, does it cost £3? Because everybody wants one. But you see, that's no justification. It should still cost 50p, unless you just sell out, right?
Yeah.
But that's just part of the human condition. Grasping we are. We disgust me.
But you can't let down your girlfriend on Valentine's Day.
The entire contents of a florist's shop, says here. Never, ever buy a practical gift, such as a saucepan or a bread maker. Or, indeed, a course on how to make jewellery.
Oops.
For him, for couples that have been together forever, red satin sheets and pillowcases for a night of passion. For couples that have been together forever.
A bit tacky, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, tacky, but also completely useless. Because if you've been together forever as a couple...
You're not having
then,
it.
Yeah, at all. I mean, sex is just the very last thing you're thinking of, right? Yeah. It's a cup of cocoa and a good night, dear.
You'd probably prefer the pan. The Teflon-coated pan, by
the way. Well, yeah. A Teflon-coated pan beats red satin sheets.
At any time, I
any
think.
Any day of the week, yeah. What is the big deal about satin, anyway? What is satin? I don't even know what it is.
It's really cold, isn't it? It's like really cold material.
I doubt it.
It's not warm, is it?
Well, it's not wool. But then would you say that cotton was a cold material? What is satin made of? See, there's another reason why we want Wikipedia. Wikipedia that. What is satin actually made of? Does anybody have any clue?
No.
Do you know how much we spend on Valentine's Day in this country? That's right. £800 million on this totally made-up day that the car companies have saddled us with. £800 million on Valentine's Day. That's an average of... How much were you planning to spend?
A tenner. That's all right, isn't it?
A tenner. No, but thanks for playing. An average of £44 each we're going to be spending on Valentine's Day. That's not per couple, that's each. That's what they're expecting, something that costs £44. That's nearly double the amount spent by women, by the way. So men spend £44, women spend £22. Isn't that awful? Justify that then, Helen.
Well, I made my own card, so I can't even join in this, really.
20% won't choose the right gift, in inverted commas, according to a survey by a credit card company who would desperately love me to say their name on the air. 7% of women want, for Valentine's Day, a... Have a guess. While you think about that, I'll tell you what satin is. It's a cloth that... and this is just right off the top of my head, by the way. It's a cloth that has
Wikipedia
a typically...
there on that screen.
No. Cloth that has a glossy surface and a dull back. I did not know that. Satin is a warp-dominated weaving technique that forms a minimum number of interlacings in a fabric. This is all just off the top of my head. If a fabric is formed with a... Oh, blimey, I can't be bothered. So what's it made of?
Is it made from an animal? Like silk? Oh, come on, that was a reasonable question.
Is it made from an animal?
What do you know what I mean? Like silk, you get silk from an animal, don't you?
Oh, but it's not... Right.
But no. Okay.
The implication was that it was made from animal bits, not something that's squirted out the back of an animal.
Well, something.
Well, it can be made from filament fibres such as silk, nylon or polyester.
There we go.
I'm still none the wiser. So it's shiny on one side and dull on the other.
It's like a cheap silk, isn't it?
Like the average head. Where are we now? You've got to change the screen so I know where we are. The screen's with my instructions on. Is it too late to go there or too early?
No.
Is he going to be ready?
Yeah.
It's 7:45, or as near as makes no difference, his travel with Alan Joyce.
Thanks, Nick. We're still looking at the...
London's LBC 97.3.
0870
9090
973.
Nick Abbott.
Hi, Annie. How are you?
Hi, Rita. How are you?
Oh, hi. Hi.
Hello.
I was just curious. You said, if you've been married for a long time, sex is boom, out of the way. What do you mean by that?
Boom, boom, out go the lights, yeah, and your sex life, yeah. Well, it's just boredom creeps in, pretty much.
I mean, it depends, really.
It's like you've been there and you've done that.
No, how many years are you talking about?
Well, it very
many
much...
years.
Yeah, it very much depends on, you know, on the individual couple, I suppose.
Exactly. I mean, you can't really say. We've been together, myself and my husband, for the last 28 years.
28 years.
That's correct, and I love him dearly, and he loves me, and making love, I don't call it sex, making love is still as excited as ever.
Really? Who do you do that with?
My husband.
Oh, right.
So, really and truly, it depends on the relationship, doesn't it? It doesn't depend on how long you've been married. There's lots of people that have been married for 2 or 3 years, and they don't get on.
Well, some people meet in a club and they don't have sex, yeah. I mean, the relationship lasts about 10 seconds.
That's right. So, I was just curious when you said sex goes boom out of the way. It's not true.
Well, I didn't use the expression boom, but I'm beginning to like it more and more every time you say it. So where did you meet? How did this fantastic love story begin?
Oh, I met him when I was 18.
Yeah.
I met him when I was 18 and he was 23.
Right.
And we've got 3 lovely children. Well, they've grown up now.
Well, not so lovely.
22, 12 and 24.
Right, so there was obviously a mistake in there somewhere. An error.
No, it's just really, I think it all depends on the relationship and how much you love that person and how much you're willing to sacrifice.
So are you very intimate on a daily basis? No, I don't mean sexually. I mean, you know, you sort of give each other a little peck in the morning, a cuddle, and you're always close.
Not exactly. We both work. We're both professionals. But we do, you know, we do love each other. Sometimes we fight. Sometimes we
okay, can I ask you a question about that?
Yes?
Is the best part of breaking up in the making up?
Yes.
Right. And that's when all the,
not breaking up terribly, no. Not serious stuff, you know, when it's, you know, little silly things here and there and not always. Sometimes you don't need to break up to make up. It's just, you know, I really truly believe when you love somebody,
set them free?
Making love does not change.
Right.
I really and truly believe in that.
Well, I think that's you and you alone, Rita.
I don't know. Do you think?
Yeah, I think you're out there on your own there. You're an anomaly.
Probably. I don't know. Probably there aren't many faithful people as they should be nowadays.
Well, I don't think it's faithfulness. I think it's the... now, does your husband enter willingly into these...
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes. More than me. I don't know.
Well, I see a little chink on the horizon of loveliness, by the way, from what you just said. More than me, you just said.
I mean, obviously... Well,
so every time he advances with that look in your eye, you're thinking...
Oh, no!
No, not at all. In fact, on Valentine's, we always go out. He always buy me sexy clothes and, you know, stuff like that. And
can I ask you a question about that?
And his birthday actually is tomorrow on Valentine's Day.
So you can never forget it. How convenient.
Yeah.
Have you checked his birth certificate just to make sure?
Oh, yes, definitely. And
can I ask you a question about the seductive apparel?
Yes.
The saucy clothery. Now, yes. Is that a gift for him, or is that, do you feel that that's a gift for you? Presumably, no. It's, he buys it for you to wear, right?
He buys it for me, yes.
Right. Yes. Because men's sexy accoutrements, I mean, who buys those? Do they even exist? I suppose so. I've seen Peter Stringfellow in a thong. Took me years to recover from that. Yeah.
He looked disgusting.
Yeah, properly, yeah. There's a man who needs a double mirror. He needs to be able to see what he looks like from behind. I'll send him one in the post.
That's very true. I think if you've got a nice,
body?
Body, and you don't look your age, and you behave properly, I think, you know, you can be good-looking, you can look handsome, and you can fit what you wear. But you can't be wearing thongs and G-strings when you are size 14 or... Sorry, not 14.
Oh, Rita, you've opened a can of worms there.
Let's not upset some ladies. If
I
you
think
are
you just
18,
have.
18, I don't know. I mean, I shouldn't say that, really, but my husband is quite, you know, he's not fat or very skinny, and I'm size 10, 12, and so...
Anyone that wobbles more than a jelly should be kept covered from head to toe. Is that what you're saying?
No. That's not fair. No, that's not fair. Because it does not depend on what you wear, really, if you love somebody. No matter what you wear.
It's all in the eyes of the beholder, or whoever is beholding you at the time.
Yes. Yeah. If you love that. I'm one of those old-fashioned who truly believe in love.
Well, it's, you've taken a line straight through all of my negativity, and we're bathing in a pink glow of loveliness here, Rita. Thanks a lot. That was excellent.
Okay, thank you.
Ta-ta.
Bye.
Here is Cricklewood. Oh, Gianni.
Yeah. Hi, can you hear me?
I can, loud and clear.
Hi, well, I believe that woman, I mean, this lady you just talked to, you know, is the kind of, you know, old-fashioned generation, you know, it's like old values and, you know, marriages last for 20, 30 years, because nowadays I believe that's not possible anymore. What do you think?
Well, I think it becomes less and less likely with the amount of opportunities that are presented to you. And in fact, men's, faithfulness is usually in inverse proportion to the amount of opportunities to stray they get. And of course, with the advances in communications that we've had, computer dating and so on and so forth, then men's opportunities to stray get ever more. Possibilities are increasing all the time. Is that what you meant?
I'm not just saying, you know, just technology is a factor of. Short-term relationships. I reckon, the evolution, pushing the boundaries, and the people just don't have patience anymore to work out on their relationships. That's what I think.
Right. Well, that pink glow of loveliness has just been pricked. But thanks a lot, Gianni. All right. And I think that the evolutionary part might be right. In that, of course, years and years ago, when the concept of marriage and staying together forever was invented, we only lived till we were 25. That was our life expectancy. Now, of course, it's 125. And, being together forever suddenly has a whole different look about it. And many of us are crying inside. Oh, no, we're crying. Till death us do part. Can't come quickly enough.
London's LBC 97.3
0870 90 90 973.
Nick Abbott.
So this figure about how much we spend on Valentine's Day is absolutely staggering, because let's face it, February is not the month that you put your hand in your pocket and you go out on a spending spree, is it? You've got your hand firmly in your pocket because you just had the bills from Christmas. No one wants to spend a single solitary penny. And so what do they do in order to prize open our wallets is they come up with this Valentine's Day. And we feel compelled to go out and buy stuff that we wouldn't even dream of doing. Going into Tiffany's, people are. Visiting the flower shop.
Are they?
What bloke would ever... What do you mean, are they?
It's quite extreme, isn't it?
£44, that's how much you're going to have to come up with, mate. £800 million on Valentine's Day we spend, an average of £44 for men. Women, on the other hand, only spend £22 on their fellas. Isn't that shocking?
It's clever.
shocking, clever, yeah, one of the two. 20% of men do not choose the right gift. And right is in inverted commas, presumably because that's what the women folk are saying. Always keep the receipt. According to the survey, for a credit card company, which would dearly like me to say their name, 7% of women want what? Have a wild stab in the dark.
Chocolate.
Chocolate is not the right answer. You'll like this, Chris.
Oh,
this is something that you could think about giving her.
Oh, I know what I want.
7% of women want what?
Puppy dog.
No, not a puppy dog. Yes, Chris? That's right. It's a marriage proposal. Think about it.
LBC 97.3.
Hello!
0870-9090-973.
Nick Abbott.
Hello?
So they released the phone message from the operator who called in Anna Nicole Smith's... well, she didn't know she was dead at the time. She just suggested that she needed medical assistance. And I bet there was a basically a traffic jam of emergency professionals queuing up to give her mouth-to-mouth. I wonder who's going to play her in the movie. There'll probably be at least three companies that are trying to get the movie together right now, because there's a story and a half. She was... correct me if I'm wrong... She used to work in a bar as a pole dancer, something like that.
Something like that.
And this old geezer who used to trundle around on a wheelchair, that used to be his method of entertainment. He could have gone anywhere, but he used to go to this bar and was captivated by her blossoming charms, both of them. And he got introduced to her, and they hit it off, you know, as you would. And comes to find out, what a shock, he's a billionaire! Woohoo! Made all his money in oil, and she thought, I really love you. Money had got nothing to do with it. And then he did or did not leave billions of pounds to her, and she didn't get a penny of it before she died, did she?
No, she didn't.
And now, this woman who bore a passing resemblance to Marilyn Monroe was found in exactly the same condition as was Marilyn Monroe when she was found dead. Was she found in the nude? I only know that Marilyn Monroe was found in the nude because Elton John told me so, in song.
Well, apparently there's a video about it. It's been leaked out, isn't it?
What, of Marilyn Monroe?
No.
Anna Nicole Smith?
Yeah.
What, somebody took a video?
Someone filmed her last few minutes.
Huh?
Yeah, did you not read that?
No.
Yeah, apparently, they were trying to resuscitate her, someone filmed it on a mobile.
Oh, she was found alive. I did not know that.
Well, she was found unconscious, but she was alive at the time.
Well, isn't that great? Someone filmed it on their mobile.
Yeah.
What, standing around? I mean, they must have been part of the group. Someone's taking the building apart as we speak.
Oh, it's been collections.
Is he weighing them? We're all going to have to be paid by weight shortly and fined if you don't pay the correct amount. What were we saying? Oh, yeah, so she was found alive and the medical professionals were busy rushing around trying to save her, and one of them, he was so relaxed about the thing that he just wanted to film it on his mobile phone. That's charming.
Well, probably didn't know what to do. Maybe he didn't know first aid.
Didn't know what to do, so he reached for his camera. Yes, that is charming. Lovely. So you can expect at least one depiction of her life story to appear in your local multiplex shortly. I, for one, will be giving it a miss till it comes out on Sky. Here's one in Orpington. Oh, Jerry.
Hello, Nick. All right?
I'm all right, thanks.
Good. I was just listening to you. Told that lady who's married for 28 years.
Yeah.
And you said she must be the only one still enjoying it.
Yes.
Well, I've been married 25 years and I'm still enjoying it, and I've been going out with my wife since she was 15.
That's, now, of course, you are the exception that proves the rule. I seriously doubt that anyone that has been going out for... And how long were you going out before you got married?
We don't go. I started going out of her 2 weeks before she was 15. We got engaged at 16, and we were married by 18. She's married by 18.
Right, so it's almost 30 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're still enjoying each other.
Oh, yes.
Well, that's that one. There was no doubt about that, was there? There was an, oh, yes. It was not like a, well, you know, every now and again.
No, no, still enjoying it.
Well, that's fantastic, Jerry. You're keeping, you see, the rest of us are failing. You, fortunately, for the British Mail, you're keeping your end up. Congratulations, mate.
Thanks
very
a lot. Much.
All right, then. Yeah, he's batting above the average, so to speak. Of course, Robbie Williams has just gone into rehab because he's taking prescription drugs, so he says. Why is he taking prescription drugs? Because he's depressed. Isn't that sad? 80 million pounds in the bank, millions of adoring fans, people camped out on his doorstep, desperate to have sex with him, and he's depressed. Doesn't that make you sad? I'll take that as a no. Here is Croydon. Alfred.
Hi.
Alfred.
How are you, sir?
I'm all right. How's it going?
I'm fine. Now, the reason I called is because I've been married for 22 years, and I love her to bits, and the reason for us being really happy because there's no problem in the world you cannot solve.
There's no problem in the world you can't solve.
That's right.
How about
husband and a wife?
Oh, I see. Not like the Middle East, or
no. Okay. I mean, this is in a family matter.
Right.
All it needs somebody just to bow down a little bit, problem pass away.
Oh, hang on a minute.
Going to face.
Bow down a little bit.
Yeah, you know, just bow your head down a little bit, and let it. You know, if you've got an argument, if you get into an argument, there's no need for it to, just you know. Turn your back and let things cool down and come and talk back again, and I'm sure that when you calm yourself down, things will be different than in the heat of a matter. You know what I mean?
Yeah, what is this with the arguing?
You know, for instance, you know, there's nowadays we can see there's family, little stupid things can break family. So, as far as I myself believe, when I stand in the church, we said we're going to be with us together for the rest of our life until death.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, lots of people say it, and they only say it because they're just repeating what the man in front of them has said.
Yeah, but you know, if honestly, when you decide to get married, you know, I'm sure that you should really both sides sort of dedicate themselves to. I'm a little bit nervous because it's the first time for me to talk.
That's all right. I'll walk you through it. So you're saying what?
Okay, so it's all with, you know, I never, you know, we had lots of arguments sometimes. We had lots of, you know, problems. But at the end of the day, we don't have acceptance for each other.
Right. Well, you and almost everyone I've spoken to so far, you're shining beacons of
no, honestly,
couplehood.
It's not, what I'm saying is, if I'm angry and we had a big argument, if I go outside and talk to meet another nice lady, and you always think that grass is greener on the other side. But
well, it's not that it's greener, it's just that you haven't trodden there before.
No, the problem is, it's, you know, I'm sure that if the new lady I go to talk to, if anything's happened and that leave my wife for her or whatever happened, you know, I'm sure that in the back of your mind, you'll always think about the best things what your wife used to do for you at home.
Yeah, yeah. So while you're talking to a new blonde over the head, you're thinking of your wife. Well, as long as you're thinking of your wife while you're doing it to somebody else, that's the main thing.
I mean, sometimes you find people, when they argue, they go out to the pub, have a drink, get drunk, and he met somebody, and he jump on bed, and that's it.
Yeah.
This is not the way to solve a problem. Whatever happens between me and my wife, I don't think anybody else will feel her place. Because she's cheer the sunshine of my life and our family's life.
Well, you're virtually bursting into song, Alfred. It's wonderful to behold.
No,
but listen, mate, I've got to go. But it's like an idyllic home life that he just painted for us there. Doesn't that sound idyllic?
Well, the words it sounded lovely.
The words that you could understand.
I didn't believe him though.
You didn't believe him.
Or Rita.
Well. The thing that stuck in my mind about what he said was that that one of them has to bow their head, which sounded now get your mind out of the gutter. It sounded as though that you know, if they're having an argument, then his wife's got to shut up, don't take it, or one of them does. But what's with this arguing all the time? Wouldn't that drive you nuts?
It happens.
Well, yeah, but almost everyone I know, they spend their entire time arguing with the person that they've chosen to spend the rest of their life with. That sounds crazy.
We're living in such close proximity to each other.
Well, do you and, you and Ian, you spend as much time as a married couple would together, right? Because if you get up early in the morning, you go out to work separately, and you come home at night, and then you've got the kids and so on, and you sit down of an evening with a large bottle of wine, and you spend, a couple of hours together? You and Ian spend more time than the average married couple. Do you have arguments every day?
We have moments, probably.
Do you?
Probably.
Do you?
Yeah, most of them are on air.
Well, so they're not serious arguments. So yeah. The best part of breaking up with you two is not in the making up. No. So you don't actually have full-on screaming at each other, stomping out of the room, having to go down the pub to calm down arguments, do you?
No.
So, that's my question again. So if you spend... So it's not the amount of time that you spend with someone. It's if you're having arguments with someone all the time, then you're uniquely inappropriate for each other. That's a sign.
Uh-oh. I'll bear that in mind.
Yes. Have I just ruined your life? Sorry about that. This is LBC. Here's Travel Now with Alan Joyce.
Thanks very much if you're heading out to the east of...
Would you mind telling me what this is all about?
Oh, Shirley.
Hello, Ian.
No, Ian's,
Oh, he's still off sick, is he? He's off sick tonight.
We don't really know where he is.
Oh, well, hi. I just rang because I've been listening to you, and my husband and I celebrated our 46th wedding anniversary in January this year.
46, eh?
Yes.
And how's that going?
Well, it's going fine. I mean, I must admit, we've had our problems. Of course we have. You know, we've had our arguments, but my husband always says to me, do you want a cup of tea? And we sit and have a cup of tea, and that's the end of it.
It's not a euphemism, is it? Tea? So that's an actual cup of tea.
He always says to me, would you like a cup of tea? Or when we go to bed, I may be not talking to him for 5 minutes, and then he'll come in and he'll say to me, I love you, and then that's it.
Never go to sleep angry.
That's right.
So, So you've been together for 46 years.
Well, and I've known him for nearly 50 years.
Unbelievable. It's almost a record breaker.
Well,
so you must have some notion of... now, I have a clue as to how relationships last a long time. And the big clue is... Well, perhaps you should tell us, because you're the expert. How do you last for 50-odd years?
Well, as you say, you should never go to sleep on an argument.
No.
But if you love one another, you can sort your problems out.
Well, that might be true for you, but for, I'd say most couples, that's not true, isn't it? Isn't there something like two out of three marriages break up now?
Well, today, with youngsters, they may go into marriage and thinking, oh, well, if it doesn't work out, we can get divorced. But when we were married, you had to make a go of it.
Yeah,
and I think that's a difference.
Pretty much whether you liked it or not, because it was socially unacceptable to...
Well, it was unacceptable to divorce in our younger age. So if you had problems, you had to sort them out.
Right. So you had to...
I don't say that because you have children you've got to stay together, because that isn't the answer either.
Also, part of it, perhaps, was that you didn't actually get any until you were married, right? Because that was unacceptable.
Right. I mean, that's also true. I mean, you didn't have children till you were married.
Yeah. Or, in fact, any enjoyment of any kind.
I'm not saying that it's wrong to have children. I mean, if that's how you want to have children before you're married, that's fine. That's society today. But in our day, it wasn't acceptable to really have children before you were married.
It's almost the success of marriage and the length of time in which couples stay together has almost gone down with the attention span, hasn't it? Because people don't have any attention span at all these days. That's why all TV programmes now are cut, and you don't have any sort of long stories. They're all it's like watching a video game. Whereas, it were grand when we were a lad, weren't it? You know, people had, they read books, for heaven's sake, and not just self-help books about how to diet. Actual stories, you know.
And I also think that when we were young, I mean, we didn't know so much.
How do you mean?
Well, I mean, we were perhaps more naive and innocent then. I mean, some may have done, but... You didn't have children till you were married. Perhaps you didn't have sex before you were married. When we were young, that was... I mean, perhaps some did, but some of us didn't.
And part of it might be that, of course, if you weren't married, then you didn't have sex.
No, you didn't.
So,
You waited until you were married. I mean, that went with marriage. That's how we were brought up, that sex went with marriage.
So if you weren't in marriage, then you weren't going to get any sex, which is a great impetus to stay married, I suppose.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But all I'm saying to you is that we've been married 4 to 6 years, we've had our problems, but we're still together and we still love one another very much.
Well, this is heartwarming, this show. I came in, you know, because it's a bit grey outside and raining and, you know, it's February, none too happy a month, and I'm going away in a pink cloud of loveliness. Thanks a lot, Shirley.
Okay, then.
Ta-da.
Bye.
What a nice lady. Here's one in Potter's Bar. Hello, Martin.
How you doing, Nick?
I'm all right.
Okay, I've been married for, 1980 I got married. Still very happily married. My wife is 13 years younger than me.
Hence the happiness.
And we went out for about 6 years before we got married. And we have a great relationship. I think the reason why we have a great relationship because we do our own things, sort of. And the type of work I'm in, I don't see a lot of her. I think maybe that's why we get on.
Well, I read this in a newspaper the other day. The way in which to keep a bit of spark there is to not spend any time with the person that you're married to. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think this has worked for us. I mean, otherwise, if I saw her all the time, I don't think, you know, I just happen, you know, to be lucky. The sort of job I'm in, and I'm sort of freelance, self-employed, and, you know, and she's very good. She doesn't mind. She's got the children to keep herself occupied and her friends. And, you know, I give her a space. She gives me my space, whether it's work or play.
But you know what you said there, Martin? You said that you're very lucky, and the implication being that you're very lucky that you don't see your wife much.
Yeah.
That's what you just said.
It's true.
Isn't that shocking?
Yeah, I know.
But maybe that is the secret to a long relationship. Don't live together. Spend as little time as possible. Yeah. You virtually spend as little time, so little time that you virtually need name tags every time you meet.
I know, you know, but when we do go, it's great.
All right. Well, listen, thanks a lot, Martin. Got any plans for tomorrow?
We're going to a wedding, actually, so...
Oh, well, then you get a pass, I suppose. All right, cheers, mate. Ta-ra.
All the best, bye.
You know what the actual real key to a long-term relationship is? The real key to not shouting at each other every day and hating the one that you've chained to? The real key is pick the right person. That's not helpful, is it? Here's one in Temple Fortune. Hello, Claire.
Hi, good evening.
Claire.
How are you?
I'm all right. How's it going?
Very well, thank you. Talking about marriages.
Yeah.
I'm Jewish and I'm religious.
Okay.
I think in the religious society, we just stick to one person and we don't have partners. We have a much more respectful life.
Yeah, well, it comes back to what's acceptable in your community again, isn't it? It's not necessarily that you want to, it's just that's...
No, we just don't... My children all that we don't have partners, for instance, that everybody has a partner. And all these children are being born and all that. I think it's wrong.
What do you mean you don't have a partner?
I mean, people who have partners not getting married.
Oh, right, yeah. Well, it's just what is acceptable in your community, yeah.
I don't only mean the community. I mean, in general, it's much nicer to be married, and I think it's much more respectful and better.
Well, it's almost an institution that whose time has come and gone, because, as I said, isn't it something like 2 out of 3 marriages now break up? So all of that stuff for, you know, till death us do part that you spout...
whose fault is that?
Tony Blair's?
He's not much of an example anyway. I'm not talking about marriage, because he's got one wife and all that. But whose fault is that? I mean, you watch television, it's all put on... Not nice things are happening. I know a lot of religious people don't even have television because of the thing that they're showing.
Well, you know what, Claire, let's not get into a conversation about religion, because it hasn't actually been a calming force on the world, has it? Most of the problems that beset us today are to do with
so
religion.
So what do you think is the best thing after that?
What would be... I don't know, we need to have more respect for it. It's not the religion part.
You're right, we need respect for each. You go on the bus, nobody stands up to give an older lady a seat.
I would.
I would as well.
But you know what? I'd be embarrassed doing it. I'd flush a crimson colour because, you know, being British, I don't want to attract attention to myself. Yes. I think most people stick to the seat and pretend that they can't see you.
They look down in the paper.
Yeah, it's because they don't want to attract attention. They don't want to be seen to be the goody two-shoes who's got up to give a lady a seat. I think that's what... It's not that they're ignoring you or they don't want to give you the seat. It's that they don't want to be... It's almost like being back at school, where it was uncool to learn. It's you don't want to be teacher's pet. That's what that is.
Can I just tell you something else?
Yeah.
Ask you something else.
Go on.
Nothing to do with this conversation.
Go ahead.
I listened on the radio this morning about that little girl of 2 years who was raped and murdered. It terrifies me. I'm a grandmother. I have grandchildren. It just terrifies.
And what's the question?
You must have heard it on the radio.
Yeah, not really something I want to talk about, but what's the question?
What is happening to society that the people, a little girl, innocent little girl like that, what's happening?
Well, you know what, that sort of thing has happened since... since men started walking on two hind legs. It's, you know, it's the human condition. We're crazy. What can I say?
I must tell you, a smashing program. I love LBC. I listen to it nearly all night because I don't sleep very well. Okay, good night.
Oh, right. I thought she was going to mention a program, but it's just us in general. We're super, and we don't mind who knows it. Here's one in Cricklewood. Hello, Shane.
Yeah, hello, Nick.
Shane, how's it going?
Yeah, not bad. I was listening to the husband and wife thing that you were talking about, and I just found it a little bit strange. As far as I'm concerned, my wife's my best mate, which you know, some people might think a bit sad, but, I mean, I basically enjoy being with her. You know, we go to football and we'll go to the match together. If I'm going out for a pint, she'll come along. If my mates are coming out, she'll come with us, and my mates like it as well. And, you know, I think that's how it should be. My first relationship, I had a bit of a nagging girlfriend, and I learnt my lesson from that, and I thought my next person who I'm going to be with is going to be the right person. I feel a bit sorry for the blokes, really, who want to try and escape from the message. It must be terrible.
Well, yes, you're right. To try and escape from the person that you're shackled to, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the key. You did it well there, and it's just pretty much a matter of luck. It's you got to pick the right person, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure if too lucky, though. I was very careful with my choice. When I first met her, she told me she was a chef. Obviously, that worked.
Yeah, well, Shane, I'm going to have to stop you there, because the news is, the ads are upon us. But thanks a lot,
okay.
Mate. All right.
Yeah, bye.
Ladies and gentlemen...
Let's go to Camden, shall we? Hello, Mary.
Hi.
Mary.
I'd like to give you a poem for Valentine's Day. Two poems, actually. It's not. No, it's quite...
Self-written?
Yes.
Something you did yourself.
Yes, this is what I did myself. This one's called... You know Eros's Figure down in Piccadilly?
Is it... Nah, it's called Eros, but I read somewhere that it isn't.
Well, this is what I put anyway.
Okay, how long is the poem, Mary?
Not very long.
Well, how long?
Oh, 3 or 4 lines.
Oh, okay, go right ahead.
It's called Spring Sun on Eros.
Spring Sun on Eros by Mary from Camden.
On Eros's figure cascades light. The once bleak shadows ascended, winter mist gone. His sylph-like body once again renewed. Bow and arrow now ready to fire with fervid potence. That's that one.
Right, didn't rhyme though.
No, it didn't have to rhyme. Poetry doesn't have to rhyme.
Well, poetry that's bad doesn't have to rhyme.
What do you mean it's bad? I'll give you another one then. Love.
Oh, great. Yes, go ahead.
Love is, love hates, love favours, love endures, yet love never dies. For love is a slave held captive deep inside the heart of man, locked in and eagerly awaiting to be set free, to work for you, to work for me. Love is.
Love is.
And that's my best stuff, you know, I mean.
Really?
Yeah. You know, I do lots of poetry, but I get inspired sometimes.
Yes. Would you be inspired to make it rhyme?
Well, I think they're funny poems, rhyme poems. I can't make poems that rhyme.
Oh, go on, give it a go, Mary.
No, I can't. These come to me at certain times, and I can't really sort of. Why would you think a poem has to rhyme?
Well,
a poem is prose, isn't it? It's sort of set in different stanzas or something.
Yeah. Well, poetry.
Mm-hmm.
Is stuff that rhymes.
No.
Prose is stuff that doesn't.
No, I know, that's like essays.
If it doesn't rhyme, then it's just words, Mary.
Yes, but it still makes talking about the one. All right, another one.
Here we go.
A silent moment spent in prayer captures reassurance eternal. A spark of light now flickers through eyes once laden with tears. Well, I mean, that's a quick poem, but it's.
Still not rhyming, though.
Yeah, but why? No. Wandsworth, does that rhyme?
Pardon?
Did Wandsworth, his poetry rhyme?
Wandsworth?
Wordsworth, sorry. Wordsworth.
Oh, come off it. What does Wordsworth know about poetry?
Wordsworth, about the daffodils and sort of.
Oh, daffodils?
What? Dancing and.
Daffodils and dahlias. I've got a poem about a dahlia.
Go on then.
There was a young man from Australia.
Yeah.
You don't like it so far, do you?
Well, I know it's going to rhyme. There was a young man from Australia.
Yeah, who painted his bum like a dahlia.
Like a dahlia.
The colours were true. They were red, white and blue, but the smell was a bit of a failure.
Well, that sort of poetry I don't write.
Oh, come on, Mary.
I'm not saying I'm a poet laureate or anything like that, but I just can't sort of seem to write sort of stuff like that, you know.
Well, think hard. Would you do that for me?
Yeah, I will. Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mary.
I wonder where Ian is tonight.
More. No one has any idea.
What do you mean? No one's got any idea.
That's, no clue.
Isn't that a bit sort of.
Well,
isn't it a bit.
Uncaring.
Phoned in, shouldn't he?
Well, he should have let his little chum through there know.
Well, yeah, Agent Chris.
I know. He doesn't seem remotely interested.
Who?
Agent Chris.
Not worried either. He must know that.
Not interested or worried or. You couldn't care less, apparently.
I think he knows.
Do you reckon?
Mm.
I'll quiz him on it later.
Yeah, perhaps he has. I think he has had a little word with him, because it is worrying, isn't it? Because only last week it was a very slight car crash he had.
Yes, which was not his fault, apparently.
Oh,
is that what he's saying?
Yeah, but now tonight, disappearance again, so it gets a bit.
Very suspicious.
But you're very. Yes. Were you the other man that. Did you, last week, fill in for him?
Did I fill in for him last week? Not to the best of my recollection, no.
Not somebody else, did.
Well, was he off last week as well?
Yes, when he had the slight car crash.
Oh, no, I got the call, but you know what, I was asleep at the time.
Oh.
I actually heard the mobile phone in the other room, but I thought I was having a nap.
So
I
you thought, lot must nah. be freelance presenters.
You've got that right, Mary.
Thank you.
Like prostitutes we are. We'll do it for money anywhere you like.
Oh.
Thanks, well. Mary.
All right, then.
I'll leave you with that lovely thought. Ta-da. Yeah, got any poems? Did you write poems in your little cards, Helen?
No, but a friend of mine has just written a poem not that dissimilar to Mary's.
Mine? Oh, Mary's.
But she's maybe not rhyming, a little bit then. Odd.
How do you mean?
Because her poems were a bit creepy.
Oh, they creeped you out?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Well, the best thing to do is to not listen.
No, okay, I'll have a chocolate biscuit.
Yeah, it was just like a noise to me. I was just, you know, every time she stopped speaking, then I piped up. Chocolate biscuit, you say?
Yeah.
Do you want one?
I couldn't have a chocolate biscuit without a nice cup of tea. Here's one in Belgravia. Hello, Dr. Marcus. But that's a no. No, don't bother yourself. Thanks,
Nick.
Anyway. Hello, Doctor.
Hello, hi. Yeah, as, some listeners might be aware, I'm in a same-sex relationship, and it just poses a bit of a problem at Valentine's Day, you know.
what should I buy my partner Kenneth?
Well, I've got the answer right here. You've called the right show. If I can just find it. One moment, please.
Right.
Now, have you been, are you new lovers, an established couple, or have you been together forever?
Between, a year and 2 years.
I'll say that's an established couple.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, on the gay scene, that's practically together forever, 2 years, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we've been through the, you know, the civil ceremony and everything.
Oh, right, so you're stuck with him now.
Yeah.
Right, for him, cashmere socks. That's got to be the silliest thing I've ever read in my life. Yeah. Who needs cashmere socks?
No, but that's what a woman would buy a man. How do we, you know, I don't know, I'm thinking about going out for, you know, a gay lunch.
Oh,
but then how
it,
do
mate.
You, you know, how do you make a lunch?
Gay, yeah.
Gay. You know. I don't know,
that's
I mean,
an
it's
interesting
all,
question.
What would a man buy a woman? What would a woman buy a man? What does a man buy another man?
How would you make a lunch gay?
Well, exactly, I mean...
Now, keeping if we kept it clean, could we come up with any answers? Anyone? No?
No!
I'll take that as a no. Well, you're thinking in there, but you just haven't come up with a single
dinner.
Thing we can broadcast. Well, we haven't had gay lunch yet, Doctor, so
yeah.
Calm down. Right, for him, cashmere socks, silliest thing I've ever read. How about a Swiss Army knife? Not for a gay man, no.
Well, exactly.
Or a leather man. Well, see... Maybe we've hit the nail right in the head there. A leather man. Not a leather man tool, by the way. An actual leather man.
What does it do?
It's like
Nick.
Yes,
as
mate.
You know, I'm a busy doctor, yeah? I have to go.
Right.
All right?
Is that your story?
No, that's my my doctor's bleeper.
And what's your speciality?
Nick, I've got to go.
What's
right?
your... What,
I'm sorry.
What branch of medicine are you in?
It's an emergency, Nick.
What branch of medicine are you in?
I'm sorry. I've got to go. Goodbye, Nick.
Okay, cheers, mate. Does anybody believe that that guy's actually in medicine? Couldn't even answer that simple question. What branch of medicine are you in? I mean, that would be front of mind, because you've just been bleeped, because you are an expert in whatever it is that's required. In, you know, you might be one of them drug doctors. You know, the gas man. What do they call them?
Cancel that ambulance.
Can't say it. Anaesthetist. What is it? One of my best mates is a gas doctor, and I still can't say it. An anaesthetist.
Anaesthetist.
Is it an anaesthetist or an anaesthetist? How do you spell it? N-A-N... No, wait, I'll try and get it. A-N-A-E... N-E... No, that's not right. N-E... Yeah, A-N-A-E, A-N-E-T-H... A-N-E-T...
N... A...
A-N-E-T...
Natist.
Artist. Artist.
A-N-A-E... T-H... A-N-E-T...
A-N-E-T-N-A-T-I-S-T.
Well, I think that there's something between the TH and the A. We've got aneath. We're pretty sure about aneath.
Yeah.
A-N-A-T-H. Is what comes after the TH that's the problem.
N.
Aneath.
Nutty.
Aneath nutty. That's not N. Aneath nutist.
It is though, isn't it?
No! Aneath.
Eatist.
Aneath-eatist. Oh, it's driving me nuts now. Aneath.
There's the red line that means it's wrong.
Yeah, I bet it is. Take out N. Aneath. Aneath. Put an S. Put an S after the TH. I bet that will take the red line away. No, aneathsatist. Put making the E and A. I hope you're playing this at home. Aneathsatist. Aneath.
No.
Oh, blimey. Driving me nuts, this is. Can you find out on your own? Here's one in Guildford. Oh, Beryl.
Hello.
Beryl.
Hello,
Beryl. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Do you know how to spell aneath?
Yes, G A S.
Pardon?
G A S.
Is the right answer?
You're a fool. I've been married 57 years.
No, you have not.
We have.
57 years.
Yes.
Wow.
Somebody when I told a friend of mine that we'd been married that long, she said, good Lord, you'd get less than that for murder.
Can you stand it anymore?
Yes, it's just a way of life now.
Is that a no?
Semi. He's, Jim's going to be 81 next week.
Who's Jim?
I'm 74.
And Jim is?
81.
No, who is he?
Oh
your fancy
husband.
Man. Oh, your husband, right.
Oh, Nick, of course.
57 miserable, happy years. That sounds fantastic, Beryl. You see, you picked right. Am I right? Or can you wait till it ends?
You know what the vicar said? The first one comes at any time, the second one always takes 9 months.
I don't really know what that means.
You think about it.
Well, he's talking about babies, right?
No, but it's good. We love her dearly, and she's getting old now, and lives quite close to us, and we didn't have any more children. But we've had an up and a down of life, but on the whole, we still love each other, though we argue.
Oh, so that was going to be my question. You argue. How often do you argue? Once a day?
Well, we just had a row this evening because he lost his pills.
Lost his
don't
pills.
Don't say Viagra.
He lost his pills and you were about to go out clubbing. So you were looking for them everywhere.
Yeah, we have. But we can't find them, but I don't suppose you'll die overnight.
Oh, that's nice. Well, it's like, you know, one way or the other, whatever. You know, morning will come round, you'll have your breakfast.
And I'll get up and make the bed.
Yeah, he may or may not get up, you know.
Oh, I hope so.
Lost his pills, did he? I bet he's always losing his glasses as well, right?
Oh, I hope he's listening in the other room. He's been back to Tesco's 4 times to see if they found them.
Really?
This week.
But yeah. This week?
Lost them 4 days ago.
His glasses or his pills?
His glasses.
Right, and he's got 2 pairs of glasses now, right?
Well, we found a spare pair in the drawer. I think they belong to my grandmother.
He wants to get one of those pieces. What do you know? I hadn't said it yet. He needs to get one of those pieces of string that hangs it around his neck. I bet he'd hate that.
Yes, I think he would too.
How about eye laser surgery?
Not at his age.
No. Or any age. You'd have to be out of your mind. Unless they're advertising with us, in which case everyone should do it straight away.
Exactly. Can I just tell you something else?
Please do, yes.
I've been listening to LBC for donkey's years, and this is the first time I've ever telephoned, but I wanted to say that I heard you a couple of weeks ago, and I was so amused, and to think that tonight you're on, and then Clive's on afterwards, is a really good night.
It's a night made in heaven, eh?
Yes.
Thanks a lot, Beryl.
Bye-bye, Nick.
Ta-ra.
Bye-bye.
Of course, we can't say, you know, I'm just the, I'm the spare, really. I'm not even qualified to be doing this. This ain't my show. Have we found out how to spell aneth... I can't say that word.
Anaesthetist.
My best mate does that for a living, and I've got no idea how to even say it. Anaesthetist. There's got to be a doctor out there somewhere. It's the most ridiculous word I've ever seen. Bermondsey. Hello, Christine.
Hello.
Good grief, you're loud.
Sorry.
How are you?
I'm cooking. I've got sautéing potatoes that are sizzling in front of me.
Sautéing potatoes.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, hang on a minute, Christine. I've overrun the travel. Can you hold right there?
Of course.
Right, you sauté and we'll do this. Okay. It's 8:46, here's Travel with Will Gowan.
Thank you very much. If you're heading out to the east of town tonight... 97.3
0870
9090973.
Nick Abbott.
Absolutely.
Hey, Christine, are your...
Hello.
Are your potatoes crispy? Crispy on the outside and lovely and fluffy in the middle?
They're on crispy on one side at the moment. I need to flip them over.
And what are they again?
I'm just doing sautéed potatoes.
Sautéed potatoes.
Yeah.
That seems very
late.
Yeah, it is quite late. That seems a very involved thing to do. Why don't you just boil them?
I boil them. You parboil them.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Then you sauté them. Yeah, but it's nice.
I mean, you ain't running a restaurant there.
No. I always like to cook.
You must be cooking for someone though, not just you.
Yeah, my boyfriend and my friend's about to come over as well.
Right. So you're showing off. Sautéed potatoes you're giving them. Huh. What, anything to go with then, potatoes?
Steak.
Steak, eh?
And sugar snap peas and baby sweet corn.
What, it's like comedy vegetables you're giving them. Tiny little mutant vegetables.
Yeah, which have been teeny ones.
Starved of their you know, required nutrition so that they ended up mutant little dwarf vegetables. Oh. For which you have to pay twice the price, by the way.
They weren't expensive.
I'm working my way up to eating steak because I didn't eat meat for the last like 20 years, and I turned around and I thought, why am I still a vegetarian?
Wait, why were you a vegetarian?
Well, I worked in a meat factory when I was a kid, you see.
Oh, no.
And it put me off. And,
that would put me off.
And, but long after the, and so it put me off anything that I couldn't identify as a cut. So, and pies, burgers, sausages, that sort of thing. And as a student, that's all you live off, right?
Yeah.
And so, I just sort of fell into it.
Oh.
And then 20 years later, I turned around and I couldn't remember why I was a vegetarian anymore. So I thought, well, I'll have a bit of that then. Let's get some meat in me. Now, no animal is safe. Ham, though, piggies, I'm eating a lot of little piggies. Ham and bacon and yummy stuff like that. I haven't actually graduated to cow.
Cow is good.
Are you being called away for a medical emergency?
No, that's my buzz at door. That's my friend arriving.
Oh, right. Okay, well, we better be quick then.
Well, you know you was writing the anaesthesis word, or however you say it?
Yeah.
You was doing it in Word, because you said that there's a red line appearing underneath.
That's right.
Wrong. Well, if you right-click on the word,
yeah,
it should give you a list of suggestions.
You're joking.
No, that's what is clever.
If only Bill Gates had been through the glass, this show really would be dangerous. Well, you better go because your party has arrived.
Yeah, so you just need to get the word basically right, and then right-click on it, and it'll give you the rest.
I feel so stupid.
Oh, thanks. Well, I've just learnt you something. Learnt you something?
Yeah.
I'm clever, me.
All right, thanks, Christine.
Okay, see ya.
Ta-da.
Bye.
Now, she would have got away seeming like a giant brain, but she blew it right at the end there. And I had no idea that that existed. Who knew that that existed? That you can get a word almost right, and if there's a red line under it, you can right-click it, and it'll tell you what the correct word was.
But it's not in the dictionary, according to this.
Not in... so we're not even close, in other words.
And it doesn't give me any spelling suggestions.
Right, like I said, Bill Gates, if I ever meet him, here's one in Fulham. Sandra. Oh, Sandra. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Yes, Sandra, how are you?
Yes, I'm okay. And you?
I am super. Thanks for asking.
Good. What exactly are you trying to spell? Is it anaesthetise or anaesthetist?
The test part. I can't say the beginning of it. I just can't say it.
Well, I can spell you anaesthetise.
Okay, so, well, from that, we'll get to the to the sweet spot. Yeah, go ahead.
A-N-A.
A-N-A. Anna.
E-S-T-H.
E-S-T-H.
E-T-I-S-E.
E-T-I-S-E. Ah, you know where we went wrong? We were thinking of something to come after the T-H. It's actually before it. And once you see it written down, suddenly you can say it. Anaesthetist.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. Well, hallelujah for you. Now I can go to bed complete. Thanks a lot, Sandra.
You're welcome.
All right, ta-da.
Bye-bye.
Here's one in Chiswick. Oh, Julia. Julia. Oh, Julia. Julia's gone. Belsize Park. Judy.
Hello.
Hello.
I was going to try and help you out.
Please do.
Actually, anaesthetized is spelt with a Z.
No, it can't be.
Well, it is in my dictionary.
Is it an American dictionary?
No. It's it's an Oxford.
Oh, well.
I couldn't spell it. I've looked it up. But I was trying to help you to pronounce it.
Go on.
Can you say anaesthetic?
Anaesthetic.
Right. Take off the ick. Right.
Anaesthetist.
Yeah.
Well, it's close.
Now, just take the pronunciation slightly differently.
Warp it a bit.
Anaesthetist. No, go back to anaesthetic.
Anaesthetic.
Say anaesthetist.
Anaesthetist.
Now say anaesthetist.
Anaesthetist.
There you are.
Hey! Funny, but that's what I thought I said before, but I'm always willing to be corrected, even when I'm right.
Well, you've got it now.
I have got it, yeah.
Anaesthetist. Go on.
I've said it. Anaesthetist.
It's like out of, what's it called? Pygmalion.
Yes.
Fair Lady, the other way around.
Yeah, I'll make you a bet. I bet that you can't teach me how to talk proper.
No, I wouldn't try.
Thanks a lot, Judy.
Okay, bye.
Ta-ra. Here is, hang on a minute. We'll go to Greenwich. Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Sarah, I'll have to take NADS. All right, and I'll come back to you in a second. All right,
thank you.
Okay, one moment, please. This is LBC.
Immense potential resources.
LBC 97.3. 0870 9090973. Nick Abbott.
Me laugh you a long time.
And I really mean that, Sarah.
Oh.
How are you?
Oh, Valentine's Day sucks, doesn't it?
Well, it depends what you mean by, sucks.
Just rubbish. It's rubbish, and I hate it, because nobody loves me.
Oh, see, that's what I was going to say. There speaks a single person.
You can tell, can't you? A single person with a very sore throat. Yeah, and I'm ill as well. So I thought, maybe you could keep me company for a minute.
Well, okay, just the minute then. So, it's the expectation, really, isn't it?
It's like Christmas. You think everything's going to be magical and wonderful, and I bet you half the people that celebrate Valentine's tomorrow, yeah, this time next year they won't be together.
You're just saying that to make you feel better.
Yes, because I'm evil and a bully. I'm not a bully, but it does make me feel a bit better.
But have you been in a relationship when a Valentine's Day came around?
No.
Oh, right. Never had a relationship that lasted more than a year?
No.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, but I am 21.
Ah.
So, my longest relationship is 6 months.
6 months is pretty good.
That's quite good going.
Yeah, not bad at all, yeah.
But I couldn't have another relationship like that ever again.
How do you mean?
It's just rubbish, isn't it?
What, relationships?
Yeah, they get all clingy and moody if you go and see a friend who happens to be a man. And
well, I would think so. How can a man be a friend, Sarah? Come off it.
A man can be. I've got more man friends than female friends.
I bet you do.
No, not that way. Just as a friend, like someone to talk to and.
No wonder your boyfriend got upset. You went around to another bloke's place to have a chat.
No.
Unburden yourself.
Wasn't anything like that. I'll trust him to go and see a woman.
No, you wouldn't.
I would.
Well, you're out of your mind, Sarah. No bloke.
Well, my theory is with relationships, yeah. If someone's going to cheat
expert,
on you.
Yes.
No, far from it. But this is my theory, so maybe this is where I'm going wrong. You'll have to tell me.
Go on.
If he's going to cheat on you, he's going to cheat on you, whatever, isn't he?
No, that's not true.
Yeah, he is. He's going to cheat on you, whatever, whether you go to another girl's house or not.
No, here's the truth.
It's not the end of the world. There's plenty more fish in the sea.
Well, that is true. But the first part is not necessarily true. A man's propensity to cheat is in direct proportion to the opportunities that are presented to him. In other words, they all want to, as to whether they will or not depends on whether they can. Disgust me, Chris.
Yeah, but it's got to be a certain amount of trust there. You just move on, don't you? Man cheats and you just move on.
But would it be the end of the world? Does it necessarily have to be the end of a relationship if he cheats? Or indeed you do? If you really, really love each other?
Oh, no. Like, some couples have an open relationship. And sometimes, I've never had this, by the way. I'm not like that. Well, but what I'm saying is, I've known people who have, and it's worked out really, really well. And they stay together for ages.
Right. Okay, well, that sounds like a model plan. Thanks a lot, Sarah. We've got the new news coming up. This is LBC.
FM, London's LBC 97.3, 0870 9090973. Nick Abbott.
Everything is going extremely well.
Okay, here's news if you are looking at tomorrow, askance, kind of just going to get through the day and forget it all because you are single. This is the Telegraph has come to our rescue again. They've got no end of silliness these days. They're reporting on the findings of the largest experiment in the science of attractiveness. shown here. They challenge current thinking about the differences between men and women. What men and women find attractive. So in other words, here's how to gussy yourself up in order to attract a member of the opposite sex. Hey! 4,000 people took part in the experiment, launched over 2 weeks. On the Daily Telegraph actually did this experiment. Good grief, they've got no end of time over there now. Some revelations are obvious. In the case of men, being rich, powerful, smart and funny helps. And the more attractive the woman you are pursuing, the more these factors matter to her. Huh. So the more attractive the woman you have, the woman you are pursuing, the more you have to be, as a man, rich, powerful, smart and funny. If you're going after, I don't know, what's a delicate way of putting it, then you don't have to be rich, successful, smart or funny. Which puts me in the frame right away. Some are less obvious. Women rate being good in bed as more desirable and a possible partner than men do. The woman's face was deemed to be the most beautiful part of her body by just over half the men, rating 5 photographs. Oh, no, hang on, I got that wrong. The woman's face... They presented men with 5 faces of women, which, of course, is not a scientific survey, because they just might fancy one particular woman over another, right? But they were asked to pick the woman that they fancy the most. Who do you really fancy? My mate really fancies you, like that. And they all picked the youngest one. What a surprise there. Women, on the other hand, presented with 5 pictures of blokes, picked the second oldest. In fact, he's the only picture of a guy whose hair is a mess. All the other the 5 that they were given to choose from looked like they'd been styled to within an inch of their lives. The bloke who they actually circled looked interestingly as though he'd just had sex, like he's just got up. Isn't that always the way? You go for years and years and years without having any at all, and then you get it once, and then suddenly everyone wants to, you know, jump your bones. Isn't that right? I've got no idea. I'm making it up. I'm just guessing. because women have a shorter reproductive lifespan, males are predicated to... making it more fancy than it actually is. Are predicted to be lured primarily by visual cues that signal high fertility, such as youth and biological fitness, indicated by physical flawlessness. So there's nothing we can do about it. It's in our genes, Helen.
Right.
That's why men are so shallow. It's because our genes are telling us to be.
Okay.
It's in our genes. And it's got to come out. If only I had a sproing sound effect, I'd be playing it right now.
Boing.
Women, in turn, seem to seek signs of resource acquisition in men to maximise the prospects of their children. In other words, they go for the money. Show me the money, they say. Which kind of makes sense, because in days of old, when a glimpse of stocking was thought of as something shocking, now, heaven knows, anything goes. You know, when we were all living in caves, you'll remember this, Chris, women used to be attracted to men who were of a muscular mean.
Doesn't mean anything.
No, I didn't think so, no. You should eat something every now and again. Do us a favour. Have some meat. You need some meat in you, boy.
I do try.
Do you? Just can't keep it down?
No.
But, you know, when we were all living in caves, women used to select their mates because on the basis of their musculature, right? Because they'd be able to beat away, you know, the rampaging hordes, and they'd be able to go out and bash a bison over the bonce and drag it home for tea. Nowadays, of course, giant muscles are not necessarily an indicator of success in society. Giant wallet, on the other hand, ooh, baby.
And a 4x4.
No, Ken's going to price that out of existence. He's going to charge you £25 to drive it in London. You know what? I couldn't believe it when I saw the map. When I saw the road markings coming here, we are just in the extension of the congestion zone here, aren't we? By a sliver, a hair's breadth away is the line. Virtually, you walk out the back door here and you're outside the congestion zone, walk into the building and you're in it. That's awful. I mean, there's no way of getting here without incurring that fine. Isn't that terrible?
Unless you've got a helicopter.
Well, that's true, yeah. Yeah, damn it. It's all the rich people that get away without paying the fine. Damn it! See? Helicopter, yeah. That's the answer.
Maybe we should all club together.
Yeah, yeah, we'll do that, yeah. We'll club together with all the extra amount of money that's left over at the end of the month. We've got no idea what to do with it. It's just pouring out of the doors here. Women in turn seem to seek signs of resource acquisition in men. See, men, very, very shallow. All we are after is looks, but there's a reason behind that. It's not that I retract that statement. We're not shallow. We just go for, men in general go for looks because a youthful and lithe physique is one more likely to be able to pop out the babies. See?
Oh, in a woman, yeah.
Perfectly logical. Yeah, if a man was popping out the babies, then you'd have cause for concern. We'd have to get that doctor from Belgravia, whether he's on a call or not. We'd have to rush round. I read today that, John Reid, the Home Secretary.
Oh, him.
Dr. John Reid. Yeah, Dr. John.
What?
He's called Dr. John Reid.
Is he?
Yeah, he's a doctor. Oh, he's forever calling himself doctor. I've got the right bloke, right? Dr. John Reid. The custom is that if you are a GP, if you are a medical doctor, then you call yourself doctor. Someone who's just got a PhD is technically a doctor, but they shouldn't, by tradition, call themselves a doctor, because it's confusing. I mean, if you introduce yourself in a party, hello, my name's Dr. John, then people would want to either have you look at their back or play some New Orleans bluegrass, right?
It's dangerous.
Right place, wrong time, they'd be asking for. That's one for the musos.
Hmm.
Where was I? Oh, yeah. But Dr. John Reid, he's not a medical doctor at all. He just swans around calling himself Dr. John Reid. You know what his doctorate's in? Economic history.
What?
He ain't no doctor.
He can't have that title as well. He's already got a title of Home Secretary.
I mean, I'm, what did I get? An MSc, Master of Sciences. Do I call myself Master?
Sometimes. I've got a Bachelor of Arts.
Oh, right. What did you get that in?
Journalism.
Journalism. How's that going?
I've got a City and Guilds.
City and Guilds?
Yeah.
What's that?
City and Guilds. It's a certificate. Qualification.
You're qualified?
In City and Guilds qualifications, yeah.
You're qualified?
I've got a City and Guilds qualification, yeah.
You are qualified?
Yes.
At what?
At knowing what the names of screwdrivers are called.
Really?
Yeah.
What's the one with the cross-headed...
Posi-drive.
Pardon?
Posi-drive.
Posi-drive. No, but thanks for playing.
Well, what is it then?
Very, very aggressive.
What is it?
It's a Phillips screwdriver.
It's also known as Phillips as a make. Is a brand name make.
Uh-oh.
Posi-drive, because it's a plus like that, and you get a negi drive, which is the one that is that way.
You're making it up.
I'm not making
it up. I've never heard of such stuff in my life.
No, Phillips is a brand name, like Hoover, but it's still a vacuum.
What, without mentioning any brands? Phillips and Hoover, you say?
Yeah.
Okay, what's your favourite tool?
It's a ratchet.
She's got a favourite tool, Pete. Can you believe it? Pete.
Hello?
Yes, Pete.
How did you know yours?
Because it says on my screen. You're on the air. How are you?
Well, I'm very well, thank you. I'm very well. Just wanted to raise the point. I mean, you're talking about qualifications there, and it's a bit of a sort of subject of mine, a bit of a pet hate, I suppose.
Yes.
Qualifications. What do you think a degree is worth nowadays? Like, looking for employment.
Well, when I was a student, it were grand when I were a lad. The traditional joke is you go into a toilet and right by the toilet roll dispenser it says social sciences degree, please take one. Oh, laugh! I never thought I'd start.
Well, have you got a degree?
I have, yeah. In the world's third most useless subject, psychology. Ask me anything about psychology, I won't know it. I didn't retain a single sliver of information from my degree.
So how did you get through the exams?
I've got no idea, mate. I picked a subject that you don't have to know anything about. You can just flannel away, like sociology, even worse, or philosophy. the ultimate flannel subject.
It's interesting that you say that, because basically I dropped out of school at 16. I didn't drop out, I left, and I didn't go on to do my A-levels, and I always regretted it, kind of thing. So I went off my own back to do an A-level in psychology and law.
Why?
I'll tell you why in a minute. Basically, I paid up for this course, for both of them, and I got all the material, and I read through it, and it was just a load of rubbish.
Yes.
So I went, and I thought, well, sort of flicked through the psychology, and I thought, well, that seems easy. I ended up getting a B in the law and an A in the psychology without really even studying.
Well, you get an A in psychology just by showing up at A-level, I would imagine.
That's all I did. I literally showed up, and they said, describe the Freudian theory, and I remembered little bits of it, and I just wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote, and it was all sort of opinionated. No sort of fact at all. I can't believe it. I got an A. So that inspired me to go and do the A2 levels, which I then went and thought I could do the same thing, and I failed completely.
What's an A2 level?
Basically, nowadays, A-levels are split. So you do year one is AS, which is advanced subsidiary, and year two is A2, which is the second part, which gives you a complete A-level. So you can leave college after a year with AS levels, to like half an A-level. Now, the whole idea of the system is that the AS levels bridge the gap academically between GCSEs and the full A-level.
Hey, I'm going to stop you mid-sentence because I'm being shouted at. I'm sitting here just enjoying myself, having a chat with you, forgetting I'm actually on the radio. So don't move a muscle. This is LBC. Here's Travel with Will Gowan.
Thank you very much if you're heading out to the east of town.
London's LBC 97.3.
0870
9090 973.
Nick Abbott.
Hello.
Pete. Hello.
Sorry about that pause.
No worries.
So, what were you saying?
Well, basically, just about the structure of the sort of A-level itself and how the AS level, the AS level bridges the sort of gap academically between GCSE and A2, and how I'd sort of done the AS level, thought it was really easy, done the A, and got really good grades, done the A2, and just failed completely.
So, you picked law, which is an excellent choice, you'll never be poor, and then you picked psychology on top, which is, I don't know, just... In other words, you just wanted something easy, right?
Kind of. Basically, the whole sort of plan was that I was going to go to the army or whatever, and I needed to get a degree to do that. So I wanted to do two A-levels that would allow me to get the degree that would allow me into Sandhurst.
And did they require one proper one and then one that they don't really mind what it is, which is why you chose law?
No, they don't require anything. It all works on a point system. So you're graded by points, so you can do anything. You can do media studies, whatever. Yeah. I know.
That's awful. I mean, you think that presumably you're going to go into the army in order to be a boss, or whatever
you
call it.
Yeah.
Having a knowledge of the law is perhaps, useful.
Yeah, absolutely. And psychology for the management side of it, definitely.
Well, I guess so. But even at degree level, psychology doesn't really teach you anything. So at AS level, I can't imagine there's anything in there at all.
There is. There's quite a bit. I mean, the whole idea is that they want to stage up because they want to get everybody into university and make it really easy. So what they do is they do the AS as a bridging to the A level and the A2 as a bridging to degree.
I think you hit the nail right on the head there, Pete. And that's the big problem. It's all about government targets, right? And government targets are not about the stated aim. Government targets are all about making the government look good. So if they say it's education, 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 and they can eventually get everyone in university regardless of what crappy subject they're studying, then it makes them look good, as though their educational policies have actually made a difference. But in fact,
Absolutely. People
are wasting their time studying
all of this stuff at
university.
Absolutely, and the point, I mean, what sparked it off for me was not only your conversation, but there was an advert on the radio about some revision course or whatever.
Yeah, we can't talk about the adverts.
Absolutely, but there was, and that's what sort of stirred it up in my brain, and then you sort of mentioned it, and I thought, I've got to call in. But basically, the whole point that I'm trying to make is that I'm now in an HR position.
You're in a what?
A human resources sort of position. Not sort of hiring and firing yet, but I'm sitting in on the interviews and I input on sort of decisions that are made.
I bet you're itching to fire, aren't you?
On employment. And no, I'm not. Because I just find that everybody who comes in with a degree, I work in an IT firm, and everybody comes out of university with a networking degree or a computer engineering degree or a computer sciences degree. You sit them down, you ask them two or three fundamental questions, and they have absolutely no idea. Yet they can sit there and talk to you for a good 20 minutes on how a processor works, which is absolutely fine. But if you can't fix it, you're not much good. So that was what I was really calling up to say. What do you think of degrees? Because personally, from my experience in the IT trade, which is the fastest growing trade on the planet at the moment, and it doesn't really... And also, the second fastest growing trade is beauty, believe it or not.
Beauty?
Yep, and there are currently no degrees you can do in beauty. There's one degree you can do in beauty, which is cosmetic sciences.
Oh,
and you can only
God.
Do that at one university in London, and that's it.
Well, that's embarrassing enough. A degree in beauty?
Absolutely. We can get a degree in David Beckham studies, can't you?
Don't be daft, boy. Of course you can't.
Google it.
You can't, can you?
Yep.
You can get a degree in David Beckham studies.
David Beckham studies.
Rubbish. I don't believe it. I don't believe
Google
it for
it.
A second. Google it.
Google it.
Yeah, all right. We'll do that straight away. Thanks a lot, Pete.
Thanks.
That's the big lies, as far as I can see it, is that they're trying to get everybody to go to university to make it look as though their educational policies are working. But people are just going to university just to go to university, whereas what they should actually be doing is what you did, Helen, learning a skill. I wish I'd gone to technical college to learn a skill instead of wasting my time doing airy-fairy rubbish like psychology, which didn't do me any good at all. See, I didn't even know what a screwdriver is called. A positron. What do they call it?
It's a positive drive. Positive drive. Neggy drive. Negative drive.
See? Now, doesn't that sound much better than a Phillips screwdriver? I'll have hand me that positive drive.
Yeah.
And people will be going, what?
But, Nick, not everybody is in university.
How do you mean?
You know, not everybody of that age, 18, 19, 20, is going to university.
I thought it was the law now.
No. That's recycling.
Oh, right. Well, you get them mixed up, don't you? I feel so stupid. Here's one in Lightwater, wherever that is. Hello, Graham.
Hello there.
Graham.
Good evening.
How are you?
Not too bad, thank you.
Where's Lightwater? Sounds lovely.
It's Junction 3 of the M3. You'll usually hear about it every morning when everybody's stuck in the traffic. But it's Hampshire-Surrey border.
Well, it sounds less lovely the way you described it, but never mind.
It's not too bad. No, it's on the subject of the posi drives, and I've not heard of neg drives. I thought they were blade screwdrivers, but did you know that
Did everybody get that? What is a ratchet, by the way?
I don't know.
Oh, you're asking me?
Well, you're the expert.
Oh, right. It's something that, as you're screwing a screw into a wall...
Yeah.
It's a ratchet. You can fit it on the end of your posi drive, and it will drill it in for you.
I still don't know what it is, even though you did all the actions
the action.
Perfectly.
Yeah, that's it.
You stick on the end of your screwdriver.
Yeah. To give you a bit more power, to drive it into...
Right.
So, through the plaster and beyond.
So are you a carpenter then?
No.
What then?
No, I used to work in a shop that sold all these little screws and...
Oh, I thought you told me that you went and studied whatever it is you studied.
No.
Didn't you say?
No, I said I had a certificate in City and Guilds.
Yeah. Well, isn't that learning a skill?
I see what you mean. Yeah. Oh, I did it part-time. I did an evening class.
But what was the subject?
Well, I did screws and nuts, part one and two.
Yeah, me too. I studied psychology, yeah.
Ratchets, part one, and hammer and saws, part one. I failed my part two in that.
I'm confused. So, you studied saws. What's to study? You hold them, they cut wood, the end.
No.
Oh, there's more to that.
Yeah, you need to know if a saw is going to saw through wood.
Yes.
Or a saw is going to saw through metal. You need to know the different sizes of them.
Right.
Different handles for getting into different places, whether they're free moving or come attached with, something else.
But is this, forgive me, but I'm completely ignorant about this and many other things. So, a City and Guilds, yeah. But I thought that was where you learn a trade.
You do, but to learn a trade, you've got to go through certain certificates. So, you'll get a certificate. All builders will go through this screws and nuts thing, so you have to know the name. Because if your mate is saying, I can't remember the names of them now, but if your mate says, pass me five...
Positron.
Yeah, he's got his posi in his hand, and he wants five of the smaller ones. Instead of saying, pass me five small screws, he says, pass me the 5 millimetre screws.
Right.
To go into the...
I had all this when I was having my flat kitted out. I bought this hangar of a place that didn't have anything in it apart from a concrete floor and a waste pipe sticking up at the end of it. And of course, you had to get all the builders in to do your thing. And I said, "Well, I'll have a lamp over here and a lamp over there." And of course, the electrician went around. He knew damn well what I meant. But when I said lamp, I meant an actual lamp, you know, with a shade and switch and all the rest of it. And of course, a lamp to them is a light bulb. Who knew? And so we would go around, putting in, I'll have a double socket here and a double socket there. Mm. And, of course, sockets come as doubles. And so a double socket was a double-double socket. So there on the wall, there'd be four sockets where I asked him to put two. Moron. He knew what I meant, but just because I wasn't using the correct terminology.
Yep.
If only I'd had a posse at the time, I'd have whacked him on the head with it.
Or a ratchet.
Yeah, or a ratchet. A ratchet would probably have been, he could have got a real swing with a ratchet, eh? I bet it's the tool of choice. For your average, crim.
Sounds like you need to get yourself down to sitting guilds.
If only I knew a thing or two, I'd be dangerous, eh? Well, when I'm going to kit out my next place, then I'll give you a call, all right?
Okay.
And you can come with your posses and your neggies and...
Your screws and hammers.
Yeah, and all of that stuff. Your nuts and your bolts.
Okay.
I'll provide the nuts and the bolts and, and all the therapy that goes with it. And you can bring your drivers. All right, this is LBC.
We arrived tired and hungry.
London's LBC 97.3.
0870
9090973. Nick Abbott.
Come on, we're running late!
Hello, Deborah.
Hi.
Deborah.
Now, I was just listening to your little conversation there about qualifications.
Yeah.
And I've always thought to myself, up until today, that qualifications were not important. And, like, my twin sister, she went to university, but I decided not to go because I thought it was cleverer than that. And so I started working, like, doing temporary work, and I ended up being a surveyor within, like, 4 years. I'm 24 now. So I thought I was, you know, quite clever being able to get to surveyor standard. But then I went for a job today. Well, no, I started working temporary at this, this office as a surveyor, and I went for the job, had the interview. And then today they said to me, you wasn't successful as a surveyor because you've got absolutely no qualifications, but we're going to offer you another role. So, but they're going to put me through college to get qualifications for
a surveyor. Is there a lack of quantity surveyors then?
Well, it's not. Well, the thing is that I'm, at the moment, I'm like a building surveyor because I work for councils and housing associations. I look at tenanted properties and deal with all the repair issues. And
but how do you know what you're talking about?
This is the thing.
Oh, no. Well, let's tell people what a quantity surveyor actually is.
No, it's not... I don't even know what a quantity surveyor is. I'm a mason surveyor, and I do that, and I get paid good money for it. And I
even though you don't know what you're talking about?
Yeah, because all I do is I just go around
this. Kind of like me on this show.
Exactly. I give the people hope, and then I just tell them I'm gonna send a contractor, a plumber or somebody who does know.
Right. You don't know what you're talking about, but you know a man or woman that does.
Yeah, but then sometimes you can go there and you can just, like, you know, just the gift of the gab.
Yeah, bluff your way through it, yeah.
Yeah, like but I most said, of the time I like do know what I'm talking show. About. Most of it is damp and condensation and stuff like that, which is easy to diagnose.
Is it?
Of course it is, and some structural things are easy to diagnose as well.
I think that's shocking. You're working for the council, and as a surveyor on council properties, and without any qualifications, or indeed knowing what you're talking about.
It's not dangerous at all, because obviously we work in partnership with contractors, and, you know, we work as a team. You know, it's not dangerous at all.
Well,
I mean, I might be...
How about astonishing? Would you agree on astonishing?
Not at all, because obviously you must... No, I think you're getting the wrong end of the stick. Obviously, I do know what to talk about, because somebody would have rumbled me by now.
But you said yourself that you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but certain things, obviously I don't. Yeah, I don't know it all, and I'm not going to pretend that I do.
Isn't a quantity surveyor somebody who can look at a plan, an architect's drawings, and say how much it will cost?
No, we work... Well, councils, health associations work differently. We don't look at plans like that.
I thought that's what a quantity surveyor did. They could add up how many tiles you need for the roof, and they'll tell you how much it will be.
We can do that by the area and all that.
Right.
But, But no, people who do that sort of stuff, we're looking at, like, you know, units, like flats, where people are living. Like, for instance, if you was a tenant or a leaseholder in a, and you had a council property, okay, and you, say for instance, you had a roof leak, and there's rain coming in, and, you know, everything's getting wet, and the wires are all getting wet.
Then an expert like you would come around and say, oh, well, what you've got here is damp.
Go, yeah, you've got a hole in your roof. We're going to send the roofer to patch it up and make safe the electric so you don't get electrocuted. Don't turn on the light switch.
And what about the quality of council accommodation? Are you occasionally stunned by it?
It's not the quality of the council accommodation, it's the people. I mean, most people live like animals. I mean, you know, it's the people. We give them properties in good condition, decent properties, and they go in there and they just trash them. You know, I mean, not all of them. Most people take care of their properties, but a lot of people just really don't care. Cause it's not, as far as they're concerned, it's not theirs. You know, they're renting it, but really and truly, they've got a lifetime lease, but they don't seem to understand that. You know?
Well, it seems pretty dumb to lay waste to the place that you're actually living in. But
they do that. I mean, yeah. I've been into so many properties. I had one the other day which was disgusting. You know, we won't even get a contractor to work in there for health and safety.
Well, that's the problem with society in general. What is the major thing that's wrong with society? People.
It's a nanny state, basically. They get given a flat, okay, and then they expect us to clean the flat for them, maintain the flat for them. We've given you the flat. You
comb know? Their hair for them, tie their shoes, yeah, and feed
exactly.
them with a spoon, yeah.
Exactly. They don't understand where it stops. You know. And they ask us to redecorate the house and, like, we're changing rooms or something, you know. Like, no.
Yeah, you stick up for what you stand for. Good for
I will
you.
Do.
Thanks a lot, Deborah.
Okay, thanks, bye.
Ta-ra. I read today in the Daily Telegraph that, where I get all of my news, apart from, everything that I get from The Sun, that 2 out of 3 households in this country get most of their income from the government. Isn't that incredible? And I can't remember what the exact figure was, so I'll just pull one in from space. Something like, if the government stopped doling out cash, two-parent families would be, something like 9% of two-parent families would be financially devastated. 60% of one-parent families would be financially devastated. Huge gap between, one and two-parent families.
Is that house owners or,
That's households.
Oh.
Not necessarily owners, just, front doors.
Yeah.
Isn't that shocking? Yes, I had no idea. 2 out of 3 households in this country get most of their income from the government, i.e. us, who's actually working for a living.
That can't be right.
It was on the front page of a newspaper.
No.
Those were government figures.
They never lied.
So if government figures make the government look bad, then you know they haven't made it up. Here's one in Beckenham. Hello, Lee.
Hello, Nick, how you doing?
I'm all right, thanks.
I'd like to get young lady to define her ratchet that fits on the end of a screwdriver.
Oh, okay, we're going to get into ratchet definitions now. You've been rumbled.
I haven't heard of one that fits on the end of a screwdriver, sorry.
All right, now here's what Helen said was a ratchet. Go ahead and describe it for us again, and then I'll compare and contrast with what Lee says. All right.
It's a chunky piece of metal.
Yeah.
Right, and on the inside, it's got it's like a spiral, and you fit a screwdriver on the end of it, and it just gives you more power.
Right.
To your elbow.
Lee.
Right. Okay. My definition of I've never heard of a ratchet that fits on the end of a screwdriver.
Yeah.
You can either get a ratchet screwdriver or a ratchet.
Yeah.
Well, what's a ratchet?
A ratchet to me would be something you put a socket set on the end of, and you can either put it to either turn in or turn out, or turn out only or turn in only.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about. I've got no idea, no clue whatsoever.
All right, I thought I'd try for that, but obviously I haven't.
All right, well, listen, thanks a lot, Lee. Thanks for giving it a go, all right.
Yes, bye-bye.
Cheers, mate. And that sort of veil of confusion is what comes over me every time I talk to somebody who knows what they're doing.
You're talking rubbish.
Well, every time you go in and, from whatever it might be, from your car to your teeth, as soon as someone knows more about it than you do, I feel like an idiot, a moron, as though I could be taken advantage of in many and various different ways.
You can get
it's
a,
only.
You can get a ratchet screwdriver, which is attached to the thing, but you can also get an additional thing.
Ah, backtracking now.
So, no, I'm not. I'm sticking to my point. He talks rubbish, that guy.
Here, I haven't got to the end of this article yet. This is how to be a successful Valentine. How to pick someone to really, really love you, okay? This is for everyone who's looking at tomorrow, which is a great back blank vacuous hole of Valentine's Day for everyone who's, you know, not with the someone that they, you know, that is their significant other. So far, we've learnt that. Men always go for the youngest, if given the choice. Women always go for the richest, if given the choice. Which doesn't actually say very positive things about either sex, does it, really? I mean, men are shallow and pathetic, but it seems to me that so are women. Men are more predictable going for the most physically gorgeous woman, regardless of their ability to keep hold of such a desirable mate. So we, like, shallowness runs all the way through us, like a little river it does. So given the choice, men will always choose the most beautiful. However, given the choice for women, they don't necessarily always choose the most beautiful because they think that, well, the suggestion of this psychologist, oh, blimey, psychologist, study the bleeding obvious, but anyway, we'll carry on. They think that women don't choose the most beautiful, they choose a kind of a plain and ordinary looking bloke because they think a beautiful looking bloke is going to be straying. He will be presented with more opportunities for sex, they think. So
underachieve.
Well, I suppose you could say they go for a safe option, which perhaps is why you see grown men dressed in the most ridiculous clothes, chosen for them by their girlfriends. Their girlfriends aren't making them, giving them tight T-shirts that emphasise their man boobs. They're not doing that because they think it looks sexy. They're doing that so that other women will find them repulsive.
Yeah. I had a fleece last Christmas.
What colour was it?
Navy blue.
Well, navy blue. I said that's all right. Did it emphasise your man boobs?
Not at all.
Here is Electric Parade. Oh, Tallulah.
Hello, you.
Hey, you. How's your parrot? Caught the bird flu yet?
Of course not.
No.
Quarantine 24/7.
Yeah. But so, how's it going?
I was inspired by this lady who was a poetry.
Yes.
So I posted a comment onto Agent Chris's MySpace site with basically it's from my budgie. It says, "Hello, you. I'm rock and roll too." And my budgie is sitting on a miniature Marshall stack.
Oh, is that the poem?
That is a miniature poem, yeah. Short and precise and intense.
Have you actually got a miniature Marshall stack?
I do, and my budgie's on there, and the picture is on Chris's MySpace site. Just posted as a comment, so you could see it, if it's possible. But that's it, yeah.
Well, how'd you get a miniature Marshall stack?
Well, you can buy it, so you have a mini amplifier for your guitar rehearsal.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's not mini as in the size of a matchbox, it's just smaller than the one that the Who uses?
No, it is actually as big as a bag of flour.
As big as a bag of flour, right. Yeah. Like a small radio.
Yeah. Looks cool. The picture looks absolutely fantastic and you always wondered. And we're laughing when I'm talking about a rock and roll buddy. This picture is a proof.
And you put it on his MySpace site.
Agent Chris, yes.
Hey, Chris. How's that MySpace site working for you? Getting any sex yet?
Not yet.
I thought that was what teenagers did in order to, meet and interfere with each other's clothing. Isn't it? MySpace. Apparently I've got three of them, none of which have anything to do with me.
Yes, you have.
Well, but Valentine's is pants, as you use the word. I think it's perfect for the name Valentine's.
Pants. Right. It's, in both in what you can expect to receive and just generally. Pants, yeah.
In general, just do it whenever you fancy it and don't let yourself be directed by silly.
Well, that's a code to live life by. Don't let yourself be directed by silly. Wise words, Tallulah. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Ta-da, this is LBC. Here is Travel with Will Gowan.
Thanks very much. Heading on to
London's LBC 97.3. 0870 90 90 973. Nick Abbott.
No time for the old in and out, love. I've just come to read the meter.
Here's one in Ickenham. David, I used to live in Ickenham.
Did you?
Yeah, which is well named. The first syllable is Ick.
it's an extremely nice place. Anyway, how are you this evening?
I'm great, mate.
Now, listen, about this ratchet.
Oh, yeah.
I fell over sideways laughing when I listened to your guest describe it. Unfortunately, the chap who came on after that didn't do too well, so I thought I'd have a go myself.
Off you go.
Okay, a ratchet is part of a tool, i.e. usually a screwdriver or a socket set. And what it does is it allows the working end of the tool to turn in one direction, which is clockwise or anti-clockwise, whilst allowing the handle to move in both directions, clockwise and anti-clockwise.
Right, so you don't have to remove your grip from the screwdriver to
right.
get enough, what do they call it?
Torque to
screw it in again. Huh.
Well, that's right. And you go, and all it is it's just got a sort of teeth inside it with a little lever that bites, depending on which direction it's set in. So, you know, it's a desperately useful tool. But that's what a ratchet is.
David, you've cleared it up for us, as long as Helen agrees. Do you agree with that, Helen?
I do. You can get magnetic ratchets as well, can't you?
Oh, she's getting very technical now.
Well, no, the ratchet's not magnetic, Helen.
No, at the end.
Hold the bit.
Yeah.
To stop the bit falling off.
It's yeah,
what that's
it.
To do it, the ratchet.
Yeah.
Because, of course, you know, the screwdriver, you can have a magnetic screwdriver with or without a ratchet.
Yeah. But I said all of what you said all along.
Yeah.
No, you didn't. You said it's something that you attach on the end of a screwdriver, which is not right. And the other thing is, it's got nothing to do with power whatsoever.
See?
Nothing at all.
What you know about ratchets, Helen,
wrong.
You could write
well,
on the back of a stamp.
It doesn't matter what you think, but, you know, I'm right. it's as simple as that. Now, listen, I think very briefly about the people in council accommodation. I have a proposal, and I think that if you are going to be on unemployment benefit, which is fair enough, that you should actually be given work to be done as part of getting that benefit.
With a ratchet?
It could be, couldn't it? You could go and fix light bulbs and
stuff like that,
street lamps
yeah.
and things like that without electrocuting yourself. And see, I just find it remarkable, you see, that we can import 600,000 Poles into the country and, 599,000 of them can find employment.
Straight away, yeah, isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Took them
better. And come to find out, they're doing the work better than we would.
Yeah,
employers actually prefer them.
No, I do. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I get people to do work from me from time. And what it has done is it's just raised the standard of workmanship in this country.
And you're paying them exactly what you would pay a British person, right?
No, absolutely. Is
that a no?
No, that's a no. No, they don't. You pay the going market rate, and
right.
they will compete. Just like it's a marketplace, and they certainly don't work for minimum wage, but it would be generally cheaper. But you know, the funniest thing is we had a pair of guys doing some work for us in our garden, and my wife took them out some lunch, as we do. We took them out some sandwiches and said, would you like a break? And they go, break? What is break? You come here, you do the work, and you go home, and that's it.
Hmm.
You know, they put in solid 10, 12, 13-hour days.
Well, I'm putting in a solid 3-hour day myself.
Yeah.
No breaks here.
Your feet up. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thanks a lot, David. You've really sorted that out for us. Cheers, mate.
Take care.
Ta-da. You're always totally screwed with a ratchet. Don't ever forget it. Right. The end part of this article that I've been trying to get through for what seems like about 6 days now. This is an article about how to be successful on Valentine's Day if you don't happen to have anyone to write a card to at the moment. Levels of attractiveness. Men and women rated different features in importance in terms of attractiveness. There's a big list here. Have a go at trying to come up with what the most important feature for men and women, judging by a potential partner. I didn't really say that very well.
Judging a new partner, a new potential partner.
If they're judging a new potential partner, the thing that's most important to both men and women, and I'll come to, I'll do these in reverse order, all right? Yeah. So you have a think about what that might be, and then I will quiz you as I'm just about to reveal all. Pull the curtain back on it, I will.
I've got one already.
But just before I do that, I don't know, it's kind of interesting that, that men always choose the most... given a selection of women, photographs, men always chose the most beautiful and the youngest. Women, on the other hand, didn't choose the best-looking at all. In fact, they chose the roughest bloke here, who was also the second oldest. But he just looks like he's just had sex. You know, he's got that sort of skewed, ski-whiff hair, like he's just got out of bed. Men's... Also... When women are presented with pictures of other beautiful women, their sense of their own attractiveness remains pretty constant, which is not what you'd think, because, you know, for people in society are forever moaning about the image of beautiful women being airbrushed in magazines and on posters. It gives them a sense of, you know, lack of self-worth and so on and so forth. It's not the women who are feeling this most strongly, it's the men. Men's rating of their magnetism, you know, their attraction to the opposite sex, dropped by around 4 percentage points after being shown handsome men.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. And so you must have noticed that in advertising, it used to be that to advertise Bacardi, for instance, some totally hot, busty babe would emerge James Bond-like, you know, like Ursula Andress, from the foamy waves in, you know, virtually nothing at all but a belt.
Right.
A belt and a dagger. What she was doing with the dagger, no one has any idea. But these days, that is completely out, and what we have now... In fact, if you go back to James Bond, they practically replayed that Ursula Andress scene from Dr. No, and this time it was James Bond coming out with, you know, practically nothing. Exactly, yes. Cunningly concealed in his tiny little swim shorts. So it's gone completely full circle. It's men's bodies now that are being, I feel, abused. Don't you, Chris?
Yeah.
Yeah, used, if only. We're being used now in order to sell products, and it's affecting us deeply.
Oh.
Our image of ourselves is being eroded on a daily basis. I feel much less beautiful just sitting here looking at you, mate.
Oh, thanks, mate.
This is LBC.
LBC 97.3
0870 90 90 973.
Nick Abbott.
So, coming to the end of this article, which has been about how attractiveness has an effect on, you know, who you choose. And it certainly has been an interesting article, hasn't it? I'll come to the levels of attractiveness. What you are really should be concentrating on if you're looking to attract a mate, right? And this time of the year is exactly the time of year in which that should be foremost in your mind, it being the eve of Valentine's Day. But first, here's a bloke in Biggin Hill. Oh, Gary.
Hello, Nick.
Gary.
You had a lady on earlier who was reading you some poetry, but it didn't rhyme.
No.
And you wanted some that rhymed.
Yes.
Well, it's not exactly a poem, it's a limerick.
Oh, no.
And it's not rude.
Oh, yeah, right, because limericks are very rarely rude, yeah.
This one isn't.
Go on.
There was a young girl, Dolly Perkins, who had a strong passion for gherkins. One day for her tea, she ate 93 and pickled her internal workings.
Hmm. I prefer the rude ones. Got any
well,
more?
I can do you one.
Well, I'll give us the first line.
I better not.
Yeah, okay. Not even the first line, eh? Oh, you disgust me. Thanks a lot, Gary.
Okay.
All right, cheers, mate. Hey, by the way, is he gone? Gary.
No, I'm still here.
What do you look for in a partner? First thing?
Beauty.
Beauty. All right, well, that is on the list. All right.
I don't mind if she's got no money and she's stupid.
Just as long as she's hot.
That's it.
Right, okay, cheers. See, like I said, we're so shallow. Right, attractiveness, from the bottom... Well, let me rephrase that. From the foot of the table up...
I've made a list.
Right. The very least measure of attractiveness is a religious or spiritual belief.
Oh.
Which is surprising, because every time you go into church, it's just full of totally hot babes, am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Next, financial resources. Much more important to women than men, but way, way down the list, which is kind of interesting. I thought it had been right at the top. Perhaps they are not speaking the truth when they say that.
Mm-hmm.
Followed by an interest in politics. Now I know they're not telling the truth. So an interest in politics is more important than how rich you are?
No.
Oh, come on.
Rubbish.
Then status. Much more important for women than men, which is, fits, because with status comes money, right?
Yep.
Followed by an interest in science, see politics above, come off it. And then profession, which, it calls status. Then someone that will impress your friends, much more important for men than women. Followed by career ambitions, height, interest in the arts, knowledge of current affairs, educational attainment, physical looks, intelligence, and the most important, can you guess?
Nice feet.
No. Helen?
A nice smile.
Sense of humour. Yeah. Most important for men and women, which means that Johnny Vegas is the world's hottest man.